Blog Talk Radio.
Live from New York City, it's an all-new special Monday edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show for March 29th, 2021. Now, coming up on this broadcast in the first hour, in the wake of the looming trial for the police officer who killed George Floyd, we're leading off today's show with television's Lisa Bloom. Now, she's the attorney for three injured Black Lives protester marchers who share their stories directly with us here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. You don't want to miss it. Then coming up mid-show, it's our live talk in the second hour. Now, this is where you get to call in and share your comments and questions live over the air. And, of course, in our third hour, it's our spotlight interviews. Now, this is where we have a surprise or two just for you. You definitely don't want to miss it. And don't forget to join us at the end of this week, live on Friday's show. That's April 2nd of 2021 from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. We're celebrating our 550th broadcast with all kinds of live things that we've got planned for you. Now, without further ado, let's get today's show started.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Hair radio. Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
She just wants to be beautiful, she goes. Unnoticed, she knows no limits. She craves attention, she praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining. Deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we're made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. As cover girls don't cry to the face it made, but there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are, and you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, so you're beautiful. We stars and we're beautiful. Oh. And you don't have to change a thing. The driving, you know, cover girls eat nothing. She says, beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. What's a little bit longer? I can go a little while longer. She fades away, she don't see her perfect, she don't understand. She's worth it, all that beauty goes deeper than the surface. Oh, oh. So to all the girls that's hurting, let me be your mirror, help you see a little.
We carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special broadcast today. We're talking with three individuals who are protesters with the Black Lives Matter. And it's not just about being a protester with the Black Lives Matter so much, but also the fact of being injured. And we're going to get into all of that with the whole story. It's several stories. It's just amazing. And we're also joined by, you guys know her, Miss Lisa Bloom, the attorney for these individuals. We welcome everybody to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Thank you.
I want to jump right on. Yes, good morning, guys. I want to jump right on in. Let me just identify everybody first. We've got Nia Love from Sacramento area, as well as Fouché Cloner from Sacramento as well. And Bradley Stein, who is down in Los Angeles. And you guys, again, were joined by Lisa Bloom from the Bloom Firm. Let's go ahead and start. This is really, all of this comes out of protesting in response to the George Floyd incident, the death of George Floyd back earlier this mid-2020. So I just want to get a little feel of, you know, maybe we can start with Brad. Maybe you can just explain a little bit about the incident that involved you in Los Angeles. And we'll get everybody in real quick.
Sure, and thanks again for having us on. So I was like the rest of this country shocked and appalled at the senseless killing and the images and the video of this man squeezing the life out of George Floyd as he pleaded and begged because he couldn't breathe and wanted his life spared. And there was an opportunity in Los Angeles at a Black Lives Matter rally, and I decided to attend it. I was going to take my 10-year-old daughter, but I decided at the last minute not to take her. And, it felt like the whole of Los Angeles came out. Angelinos and folks, teenagers, kids, old people, everybody came out, and we gathered and we took our march to the streets, and we started marching down the street, and you know, we found ourselves at the intersection of Fairfax and
Third,
yeah, near the Beverly, I beg your pardon, near the Grove shopping center. And, yeah. Everybody was peaceful together. We were talking about the people that have lost their lives, from Breonna Taylor to George Floyd, and, some Black Lives Matter folks were speaking about the injustices and about seeking police reform for the way that they have been acting to Black Americans and people of color in the United States. And the march continued, and we found ourselves in the skirmish line where police were violently beating up protesters. And in the melee of all of that, I saw somebody getting hurt. I tried to help them, and I was subsequently hit across the chest, and I was shot from a few feet away by rubber bullets. Unfortunately, the rubber bullet hit me in the genitalia and ruptured my left testicle. So that's pretty much what happened to me.
Just awful. Now, Lisa, I want to kind of get into this with the rubber bullets, and of course, I want to hear from both me and Fouché as well. But I have to talk about this with the rubber bullets, because I've been reading and a whole bunch of going back and forth about the proper use of these rubber bullets and when they might be used for crowd control. Is there anything that you can add to that, Lisa Bloom?
Yes, absolutely. So, you might think, well, at least they're not using the regular bullets, they're using rubber bullets. But in fact, rubber bullets can be lethal, and they have been in a number of cases. And if they're not lethal, they can cause lifelong injuries, as has happened to all three of my clients, Bradley, Nia, and Fouché, who are on this call. Injuries to their face, to their eyes, to their genitals. It is horrific. And the guidelines in California for police state very clearly that rubber bullets and other so-called less lethal weapons are never to be used for crowd control. They're never to be used in retaliation. No police weapon is to be used in retaliation. If you're angry at somebody, if you don't like the way they're protesting, you're never allowed to use the weapon. They're only allowed to be used in self-defense or in defense of another when there's a very serious risk of injury or death. And even then, you're supposed to shoot center mass, meaning to somebody's torso, never to the genitals or the face. That's why all three of these cases are so important, because we have to hold the police accountable for maiming people who are there protesting a very just and righteous issue. This should never have happened to any of them.
Absolutely. I want to turn to the two from San Francisco, Nia Love and Fouché Conner, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. So, I'm sorry, from Sacramento. correct, like Sacramento, California. Nia and Fouché, tell us, now, were you guys at the same Black Lives Matter march in that in your area, in Sacramento area?
I'm not sure.
Nia, I'm sorry.
No, it was two different ones.
Two different ones. Okay, I just wanted, okay. Nia, just to start with you, can you tell us, because I was looking a little bit at your story as well, I was just first of all, blown away with your poise. Can you just tell everybody a little bit about your experience, what happened to you on that night when you were marching with the for the Black Lives Matter?
So Bradley said, After George Floyd murder, I was angry, upset, hurt. So I went out to march with my youngest brother. And for a while, it was okay. It was fine. And then it got really hostile. And I was actually walking away from the crowd. And I turned around to look for my brother. When I turned around, in a couple seconds, I was hit in the eye. And my eye was literally blown to pieces.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. I have to ask you guys, this is really tough to hear, you know, for our listeners out there. How are you guys actually coming along at this point? How are you doing, Ian, since I have you on the line about this? How are you coming along? How is your eyesight at this point?
I'm not that great. I haven't been at work in about 8 months.
Wow.
Since it happened. It's hard for me to get medication because my insurance got canceled because I'm not working.
Mm.
I can't drive. I'm completely blind on the left side. So it's hard. I'm still trying to figure out how to maneuver day to day with learning how to live my new reality, being blind in one eye. So, and then mentally, it's also very hard.
Well, I have to tell you, and I just in looking at some of your information, I saw a comment there about, you know, that you have daughters and you certainly, you know, you don't want them to ever grow up in this kind of crazy, to go through these things that we're all going through right now. So just a really good, you know, you have, you know, just such, under the circumstances, you know, just doing amazing things with all of this.
Thank you.
I have to turn to you. Yes, absolutely. I'm sure there's a better way to put that. Fouché, please tell us a little bit. I didn't get a whole bunch on your experience, and I wanted to definitely understand exactly what happened as well from Sacramento. So please tell us when it happened and exactly what happened.
Hello. It's very nice to be here as well, everybody else, including Lisa. What happened on, you know, May 31st for me was that after seeing protests and after seeing what George Floyd happened, what happened to George Floyd, it definitely moves me into a direction, different direction. I've been wanting to be a part of serving people, serving the country, serving my community for a while. I wanted to be a part of law enforcement, and I was aiming towards that. Just going all the way back to Trayvon Martin, going all the way back to, you know, Eric Garner, all the people that have been already made it pretty obvious that this injustice and this inequality is blatant in our country. It made me think about all that and what I could be doing to helping. And the one thing I know is just to exercise my rights protest. Just as everybody should when they see injustice or they see something that needs to change inside our country. Historically, I wanted to go out there to march with my brothers and sisters, to go out there and speak out for change and to ultimately be peaceful. I really wanted to go out there, be peaceful, have us be heard, but also not have us be harmed as well. We were all taking knees, chanting, sitting down. And a lot of that stuff changed when police presence came. They came in armor. They came with what it looked like guns at the time. They came and just looked like full riot gear. At a protest that was pretty much peaceful. It was all peaceful. I did not feel like I was threatened or my life was threatened, or I didn't feel fear until that presence, until that police presence came there. And once they came there, we went to continue to protest on the street that we were on the Capitol, at the Capitol. And shortly after that, they let go tear gas, rubber bullets, projectiles that one, as I was fleeing, did hit me in my face, really close to my eye. I couldn't see for a while, and it has forever changed my view and my look at my future, career path, and what I could be doing to helping this movement.
And I saw these pictures. How is your eye coming along? How is your injury coming along at this point?
Recently, I have still had floaters and light still bothered with my eye. I forever have a scar right next to my eye. And honestly, my life has been flipped upside down. And ever since then, moving forward has been a little bit more difficult. Seeing positivity in what everything's going without reform.
Wow. I'm just, well, first, thank you very much for sharing. You guys, if you're just joining us, let me just bring everybody up to speed. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I'm on today with three individuals, all who are Black Lives Matter protesters who were injured. Now, Lisa, I do have to talk to you about one of the things that I had noticed. And what I saw was that I think it was in the case of Nia, where I believe the police, the law enforcement, I think they were saying that there were several different, no one like would take ownership of these rubber bullets being fired. You know, it seemed to me like everybody, you know, like two or three different police agencies or whatever were blaming the other. And I'm blown away. So What on earth can be done, if anything? It's hard to, when they won't even acknowledge that, you know, it was there, which to me, I can't imagine that there can't be records that would indicate when a firearm is discharged. I mean, that's just, I don't even know what else to say.
Carrie, you know, you're putting your finger on something that's so important. Can you believe we live in a country and our tax dollars are going to pay our local officials and they cannot even tell us who fired bullets that injured a citizen? We don't know which agency it was. It was some other agency, probably not ours. We don't know. Maybe it was them. I mean, this is insane. Of course, they should always keep records. They're required by law to keep records when they discharge a weapon, when they use a weapon on a citizen. Now, we believe it was the Sacramento PD, but we have filed lawsuits on behalf of all three of these wonderful BLM protesters who are on the call with me right now, Nia, Fouché, and Bradley. And we will get to the bottom of it because we will force them to answer our questions and our subpoenas, and we will get to the bottom of that. I don't think that's going to be difficult. You know, but what's really striking to me is, you know, bringing this case to the present. We all saw what happened on January 6th at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., right, where that crowd of almost entirely white protesters was actually ushered right into the Capitol. I mean, police officers not only didn't use any violence on the crowd when they were just out there protesting, but opened the doors, there's videos, waved them on in, and now we find out that some of the, certainly not all, but a small number of the police officers there were actually white supremacists and sympathizers with those protesters. And it's just appalling and disturbing that the way that white protesters in events that are like Trump rallies and people protesting stay-at-home orders, the way that they have gotten treated compared to Black Lives Matter protesters. I mean, it really, you know, if you think about it, Nia and Fouché and Bradley were all there protesting police brutality, and then all three of them became victims of police brutality, proving the very point of the protest.
Exactly. Well, that's the irony of it to me, and it's just filled with this throughout everything. I mean, just the fact of the, you know, that you're there exercising your right, you know, to assemble peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost as if that these officers are unaware. It's hard to mm-hmm. kind of rationalize this, try to explain it. But I have to say, folks have taken notice about the, it seems like such an uneven, you know, an uneven amount of force when it, mm-hmm. as you just to your point, Lisa, about the, when it's relating to, you know, folks of color as opposed to those folks who were going out to support Donald Trump with their riot and so forth.
Yes.
But I tell you, I just want to say this, and I'm not, you know, just to kind of move along a little bit for everybody, but I want to thank everybody who is going out there and like what you guys have done with standing up and protesting. I've been out there myself, so I can certainly understand every single aspect of what it takes to do that. And you know, and looking at your stories, and Brad, I think you know, and kind of looking at your story as well, I'm going to get into all of it now, but just, you know, just I'm blown away with the courage that it takes and the road that you've taken, to guys, for all of you to get where you are. And Lisa, I just want to say, is there, yes, absolutely. Do you guys, you know, easy question, but do you guys, is there anybody who would do anything differently? Nia, would you change and just, you know, if you could take it all back that night, would you change and do anything any different?
No, I wouldn't. Like I said before, it's bigger than just what happened to me. So I think, you know, take one for the team.
I hear you. Okay. And what about you, Fouché? Is there anything that you would kind of have done differently if you could?
I've asked myself that question many of times, to be honest. They all come to the same conclusion that, no, I wouldn't have changed anything that I did. I think if I were to change if I were to change anything, that's implying that what I did was fully wrong, and that's also implying that what they did was right. What they did wasn't right, and I'm here for a reason, and I'm
exactly.
here to fight for justice. So, no, I wouldn't have.
I'm glad you brought that. Absolutely, and that was the point I was about to get to as well. Very good. Thank you for that. So, Bradley, I want to say, and in your case, you have just awful, you know, experience with dealing with all of this. Being from South Africa, you know, you've seen a whole bunch, and you just so you have a little probably, you know, I hate to say, but you've got some reference to some degree with all of this. So I just have to say as well, let me just stay on this. Would you do anything any different as well? Let me just officially ask you that question.
Yeah, and this is Lisa, but I'm going to jump
yes,
in on
Lisa,
that one for Bradley, because there have been criminal charges filed against him. So his case is a little bit different. And I have to jump in as his attorney and not have him answer that or anything too specific.
Don't ask, no problem at all.
Sorry, but
that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Just next thing,
Lisa,
yes.
if I could say one thing, and that is that, you know, the difference. I just want to go back and just address the differences in the way police handle, you know, what happened at the Capitol versus what happened
yes.
to Black Lives Matter.
Marches. Or you can talk about anything with your South Africa activism and background, because that's very interesting.
Yeah. So my background is I was recruited by President Nelson Mandela and his African National Congress as a clandestine officer, as a spy to help them infiltrate right-wing white nationalist groups in the late 80s in South Africa. And I was involved with the struggle, like the civil rights movement here in the United States, but in South Africa. And what I've seen here in the United States is appalling. The white privilege that law enforcement, people in government, stand behind the institutionalized and systemic racism that I've seen in all these institutions is remnant of apartheid rule, methodologies of the South African government and what they used. And they actually got that from the Australians that were, suppressing the Aborigines, the Germans that were oppressing the Jews, and the national security apparatus in this country has to change. So, hopefully that's going to happen with this new administration that's coming in, because what we've seen with this Trump administration is that all this poison has actually risen to the top, and it's shown itself. So, it's frightening to see the state of the blatant racism in the United States, and it's very reminiscent of apartheid South Africa and the oppression of that time. I just wanted to add that.
Well, I totally agree, and I'm sure many of our listeners out there are just it becomes very difficult for folks, for us to, keep seeing the same things over and over. And I just, we applaud you so very much, and I thank you. I cannot thank you enough, you guys, for really standing up for what you believe in, beyond words. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Lisa, I just thank you so much, Ms. Lisa Bloom. You are always doing amazing work. I just want to personally tell you that. I love you and your mother and just everything that you're doing. So keep representing the folks that you're doing and doing.
I love you. I love you back. And thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for speaking out about what's important and what's right. And that's what I think everybody on the line right now cares about. So bless you.
Absolutely. On that note, we'll go ahead and, respect everybody's time and just say thank you. Nia, love, Fusher, Connor, Bradley Stein, you guys, and of course the amazing Lisa Bloom. Thank you so much, and good luck with everything, and be well. Continued, healing with all of it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll check on you.
To my fellow struggle people, keep your chins up. God bless you all.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, RUTZ.com.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
I remember starting the Hair Radio Morning Show. I was a little reluctant to come to Blog Talk Radio. After all, the great Carrie Hines of radio and the Hair Radio Show had already been on very popular platforms for radio, as well as AM stations and FM stations in the Northeast and out on the West Coast. So coming to Blog Talk at first, first kind of knee-jerk reaction was that I was at a platform that primarily focused on beginners. And so I was very resistant to the idea. And it took one of our colleagues in the broadcasting arena to kind of paint the picture for me, to really consider coming to Blog Talk. And then I wasn't a fan at the time when I would visit and kind of couldn't figure out how to play the episodes, and I was just totally at a disadvantage. And as I said, having been on these great platforms that had incredible stereo sound, and being in studios and literally working all night on episodes, you know, so I really have paid my dues. And coming to Blog Talk, it just seemed like I was kind of flying in the face of that. But I'll tell you this. As we celebrate the 550th broadcast of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show, it has really, really resonated that the show really is not so much about what I wanted so much, but what to do in terms of hair and beauty, but it's really for the listeners and for the fans of what we're doing. And by coming to Blog Talk, we could do that live. It wasn't just these days where everybody just is creating a recorded podcast and tossing it out to the world on demand. I wanted to be able to connect with our listeners each morning. As soon as they wake up, where the phone is right there on their pillow, to wake them up and share some fun talk and some laughs and some amazing music and amazing guests from the world of hair and beauty and entertainment. And we were able to do really, really just that. And the Blog Talk folks, after I was convinced to come to Blog Talk from this wonderful individual as well, there were two folks that played a part in that, and one was TJ, you guys know TJ, who helped to start the show, this episode of this version of the show, I should say, and a woman who has the same name. We both share the name Carrie Hines. And she was so kind and sweet and helped me to become acclimated to the Blog Talk family. And we've been great friends ever since, and Blog Talk Radio is, they are the supporters and really the foundation of this morning talk that we do each day from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, again, right here on Blog Talk Radio. So it is my honor, to be able to share a slice of my life each morning, each weekday morning, I should say, with you guys. That's why we're here. And so for my 550th episode, wow. And I look forward to the next 550. I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Hunt. I'm Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson, Hair Radio Morning Show, Green Room. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest joining us this morning in the first hour is none other than Mr. Will Power, Harlem Will Power, I should say. Good morning, Harlem Will. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Now, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in and talk about this revelation, if you will. I happen to be noticing on cross social media that Cedric the Entertainer, you know, he stars in a new CBS series called The Neighborhood and all of that, and he's had a long storied career as one of the kings of comedy. Well, he released a series of statements that really were across the board, everyone from, what is it, Atlanta Star or what have you, to TMZ, to so many others out there, in which he's talking about none other than the now infamous Bill Cosby, Dr. Bill Cosby, who many of you guys know. He was the legendary artist who kind of broke barriers in Hollywood and did so much in the African-American community, or I want to say the community at large. But I'm going to let you lead on in, Harlem Will. What can we talk a little bit about what Cedric the Entertainer had to say about Bill Cosby?
So Cedric... Cedric, he always keeps it real with us, and he always comes with his personal opinion that a lot of people, you know, they just tend to share. So what he said in the Atlantic Black Star was that everything he did, and speaking of Bill Cosby, the way he contribute, the way he showed to love black people, Cedric told reporters, this is me reading his words, the way he taught us how to do that for ourselves, the way we all learn to take pride in our culture and our history. He also deemed Cosby a trailblazer in entertainment and life and suggested that celebrities like Jay-Z, Tyler Perry had Cosby to thank for their status. So this is a big salute coming from Cedric the Entertainer, and a lot of people agree with him because Bill Cosby's work shows for itself. He's done a lot.
Is there a difference in what Black America thinks, you know, if we could speak monolithically just for a moment or two, is there a big difference in the perception that black people have of Bill Cosby's legacy at this point versus what white America perhaps looks at, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's unquestionably a difference between one segment of the United States population looks at him than the other one, meaning black versus white. In the black community, you know, because of what's happened to the community in this country, you know, from character assassinations to real-life assassinations, we've seen it happen to so many prominent figures of the black community that has come forward and, you know, just had their characters taken down or themselves taken down, you know, so... Bill Cosby, and then yet we used to see on the other side, you know, the Harvey Weinsteins. I mean, I don't want to put too many names out there, but we know too many times on the other side when the person is white, they don't suffer any kind of long-term damage. They don't go to jail. They don't go through any of the situations that Bill Cosby is going through. They don't see them happening on that side. So when we have somebody of Bill Cosby's stature, who's created so much good inside the black community, inspired pride with his work, with his production, and just touting an education through his work, everything being centered around education, pride, and hard work, and, you know, just your culture. We see somebody like this, and yes, he has a past, but he's contributed so much that you can't get rid of what he's done. You can't get rid of the work he's produced. You can't get rid of the work he's produced in the community and the enrollment in colleges, in higher education, even the interest in higher education, which was gone and pretty much stripped of the black community. he inspired that in an era where the crack epidemic was still was starting to rise. This is something you can't erase this man's work and think it's not going to leave an effect in the community, because it's literally affected the community. It's inspired people to do some things that they didn't inspire to do before.
That's right.
You can't get rid of this guy's work. You know, and forgive me if I'm getting, you know, I know I'm getting passionate and speaking in a couple of generalizations, but like what this man produced from the shows, the Cosby Show and A Different World, people being raised on that to the point it influenced, I can't state it enough, where it influenced people to go to HBCUs and just attend to a higher education period. It's tangible results that you say you can't erase this man's work based off of something, you know, a mistake that seems to be a trend on the other side that just wants to destroy his work. And it's just that's just the view so far.
Well, I've got to jump on in and say, because when you look at this whole situation and you kind of, you know, just kind of going off on what you said there, there seems to be a jump to guilty when it involves a person of color. Now, this is the perception in the black community, and rightfully so if you're looking at it from black eyes, which I have. So it's not something that, exactly. So it's not something that we're just, you know, willy-nilly, you know, making a statement. It is already a proven fact that the perception of crime is what seems to be where, you know, folks think that people of color are guilty and deserve harsher punishment. That's what is there. And for more information on that, we've had on this very show the folks at the Sentencing Project, whose sole job it is, which is to talk about the disparities amongst the different races when it comes to crime and punishment. And so we've had them right here. The doctors have been on our show to elaborate on that, and it really speaks to it. So, but back to Bill Cosby, and it, you know, in full disclosure, I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, just literally a couple of blocks from Temple University, which has become, you know, was the alma mater, I believe, for Bill Cosby, and he has supported throughout the years. And growing up in Philadelphia, which is his home, again, we were full of pride. My entire existence is steeped into the amazing legacy that this man, I should say, what he started so many years ago. We'd wake up on watch the cartoons, from Bill Cosby's, Fat Albert show.
Fat Albert.
Yes, all the way from that to, you know, watching reruns of I Spy. Long before that, we had shows where it was even a co-star and a drama series for a man of color. So this was along with Robert Culp, that you guys remember him from The Greatest American Hero and all that other stuff. But just so that you have some idea who these folks are. So there is a long legacy. And I think that blacks, and just speaking, I'm going to speak for myself in this case, I do believe that I have to give some credit to folks that, like Cedric the Entertainer, who believes that these men in our community, prominent, you know, African-American men, deserve credit for the contributions that they've made to our people. And really to the people of America, but it seems America has a short memory when it comes to folks of color. So I want to just say that I take my hat off to Mr. Entertainer, because just the fact that he was forthcoming and being able to touch on something that others shy away from, and you're not going to hear this kind of conversation generally on other radio programs or in other broadcasting.
again, if it involves anything that's kind of racially charged, if you will, it tends to get overlooked in the broader general pop, we call it gen pop, for broadcasting because it's just a hot topic. Now, I believe, I totally support Cedric the Entertainer and what he said, and I believe that I would not throw out any of that with Bill Cosby. I think he was and is an amazing person for what he has created. Now, with that being said, I also want to take a moment because, you know, I did have an opportunity to interview the young lady, Takima, Crystal Kima, who played Bill Cosby and Felicia Rashad's daughter in his his TV series following the successful long run of the Cosby Show that he did on NBC. So when he was on CBS for a couple of years, he made sure to negotiate a 2-year contract, I remember. And Takia was on his show, and I later interviewed her when she also played the mother of Raven Simone in That's So Raven, that was a popular TV show. And so I had long discussions with Takima with regards to hair and beauty and herself breaking barriers with regards to natural hair and television. And that's what it really spawned from when I worked for Black Elegance Magazine as a contributor. So I just wanted to be able to say this. I believe in supporting the work and the legacy of Dr. Bill Cosby. Now, let me ask you, and again, if you're just kind of tuning in, folks, we're chatting with Harlem Will Power, who you host your own show, you do your own thing in radio, and you are just kind of, you know, giving us some of your perspective this morning on what Cedric had to say about the legacy of Bill Cosby. But what do you have to say about the legacy? Do you think his legacy will survive? Do you think folks will think back fondly of Bill Cosby?
I think only time will tell at this point. And if we're speaking maybe specifically about the Black community, yes, his legacy will absolutely survive. As far as in the American lexicon, I believe it's definitely going to take a hit, and that's to be expected. You got to take the good with the bad, and this is going to be one of those situations where you can't erase that part of his legacy. You just have to accept it because that is his legacy. He produced a lot of great things, and he just has this heinous act on this side right here, but an overall scope of the work is just, this is part of this great person's legacy. You know, you can actually say the same thing about a Harvey Weinstein company, the legacy of movies it created. This is what it, you know, but the owner was X and X, you know? So with Cosby, his legacy is going to stand the test of time because of what he's produced. It's so great that it's going to be timeless, especially in the Black community. It's something we can always go back and reference and, you know, look at with fond memories and, hell, inspiration.
What about the cancel culture? And is cancel culture just a code word for white cancel culture? It seems to me that, and just being honest and forthright, it seems that I only see it so much associated with regards to, folks who don't seem to be from the African American community. So, you know, are we cancel culture people too? What's your take on that this morning, Harlem Will?
My take on it is that it's funny. Because it's actually been the talk of the week, but it's actually been going on for the last, I think 4, 5, 6 years now.
Right.
We've been canceling people, left and right now. It hasn't just come from the black community. I mean, there's been a whole bunch of people, you know, who say we're canceling Kim and Kanye, and you can think of, you know, more celebrities or prominent names out there that cancel culture, so to speak, has been going after. And it's, I think this is civilization's reckoning with what's the truth that's actually out there. You know, we're so sensitive at this point. You know, people are so aware. We are in the information age where we're getting so much. We're finding out so much that every little thing that we know is offensive, or everything, especially a person, everything a person did was wrong, or, you know, it just wasn't a good look on them. Wasn't a good look. I know that's a colloquialism. You know, what they did wasn't the best example of being, you know, the upstanding person that people thought they were. They're ready to write them off and say, no, this is racism, this is xenophobic, this is, you know, it's a whole bunch of terms that I think people are just very sensitive right now because it's happening so much and they're seeing it so fast with the information technology. Right in your phone, you can see everything you know, that offends you, and you're ready to lash out. And now this is practically Gen Z coming out, and the intentions are right, but to try to cancel people, you end up canceling the wrong people, you know, which is why you can't cancel anybody. You have to address them instead of canceling them. And
I totally understand your point with that. It seems to me that a lot of the cancel culture mentality, to me, Kerry Hines, just seems to remind me of mob mentality. And that's kind of what it is, predicated on social media and some of those other new technologies, if you will, that seem to support thinking that is only consistent with you. And that is part of the problem. If you shut out having the ability to take in everyone's perspective to kind of influence you in different ways, or to at least get your thinking in along a different train of thought, so to speak, this is what I believe it leads to. And it, to me, it's just, you know, yeah, let's get them, you know, type thing. And yes, folks, we tend to forget that people are human and we will make mistakes. But I think the whole cancel culture thing makes folks feel almost that they're able to look down on others, if you will, to some degree. So some folks, I don't know if they deserve to be canceled. Maybe their acts deserve to be canceled, but I don't know about people. So that's my take on it, Harlem Will. I want to thank you for being with us in the first hour, new in the first hour, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Harlem Will, any last thoughts on this whole Cedric the Entertainer, Bill Cosby support talk that we're having this morning right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show in the first hour?
Just finish off with some last words and just saying he feels like a lot of people feel, including myself. You know, this is a recurring thought in the community. And for a lot of people, I guess, particularly outside the black community, who can't really understand it, it's like, well, that's part of the culture. You're not going to understand it. You know, this is the ramifications of being black in America. You know, we can't cancel people, like you said.
All right. On that note, Harlem Will, thank you so much for being with us.
No problem.
It's Kathy from the South Jersey area, and you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's Smooth Black Ink, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. He's a superstar hairstylist with decades of experience. He's a hair industry icon with the Midas touch for styling, cutting, and all aspects of hair care. He's also a prominent educator who can electrify your workshop attendees at your hair events. Look out for Smooth Black Hair Care, products, and the amazing Troy Ballard across social media at Hair Radio.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It's Monday morning, March 29th of 2021. It's our show number 546. That's show number 546. And I want to kind of bring to the line, now this is a very, very first time ever appearing on our broadcast, and we're just kind of introducing her to you. I think she's got something special. And she'll be sharing all of her wonderful expertise in the hair business and kind of giving her a commentary on some of the top stories of the day. It's my honor to welcome to the broadcast Keisha. Good morning, Keisha, out of Maryland. Good morning, Keisha.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Yes.
How are you?
Great to have you with us. I've got to say, it's really, really a pleasure and an honor. The Hair Radio
Thank
Morning
you.
Show we've been... Yes, well, it's our... You know, that's what we do here. We like to highlight, especially like, you know, barbers, hairstylists, product manufacturers mm-hmm. in the hair and beauty business, everybody from modeling to fashion. We like to kind of pull these folks together and introduce them
mm-hmm.
worldwide, literally, to our fan base and audience just about everywhere.
Awesome.
So just really good stuff. And we're going to get... all into that this morning. We've got you for a little bit, so I want you to kind of hang out, grab your tea and coffee, and kind of move along with us this morning at our pace. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Awesome.
Okay. So let's just kind of jump on in a little bit. You guys were just kind of listening a little bit to some of the things we were running. A lot of talk on Bill Cosby. We're working on a behind-the-scenes story. It's really a show within a show called Talking About Cosby right here on the Hair Radio
yeah.
Morning Show. So we're going to be doing a whole bunch of different interviews with different folks for their commentary on everything, on every aspect. We're lifting the layers to this man's life, and we'll be talking about it right here on our show. We invite you guys to call in and share your sentiment. About Dr. Bill Cosby. So, what did you hear? Did you hear any? Did you catch any of that, Keisha? And what's your thought this morning?
I caught the very end of it about, you know, I guess the black community. Some are canceling him out.
Right.
So, one of the gentlemen, he was saying that, you know, I think you responded to, like, I don't think it's good to cancel him out. You know, it's probably just best to pray for them and hopefully they can get it together and just hopefully whoever he has around him that can also help him guide him back on the right path, basically.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. I'm just curious. Would you watch the Bill Cosby old TV show if it popped on, just appeared on your TV when you were turning the channel,
oh, yeah.
if you will?
Absolutely, especially, you know, Different World. Cosby Show, that was after dinner type thing to show, you
okay.
know, to watch with your family. So I definitely grew up on that, definitely.
Awesome. Okay, well, great. Thank you so much for your opinion. All right, folks, if you're just kind of tuning on in, it is Monday morning, March 29th of 2021. It's our show number 546. My favorite part of this, Keisha, that we have kind of
uh-huh.
helping us to hold it down this morning, is that this is really the first Monday that we're broadcasting live in many, many years. This is kind of a special thing. I haven't really been on, I'll say probably since 2017 or 2018, up early
wow.
on a Monday morning to broadcast live. We usually just invite our fans to just listen to one of our archived or repeat broadcasts, and then we pick it up live again on Tuesday and do live Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But this week is a very, very special week, and I'll tell you why. Or do you ask, Lisa?
Why?
Do you ask why, Keisha?
Why?
There you go. Okay. It is a very special broadcast because today we're actually talking about Friday. And Friday is when we really are celebrating. Yes, today is special because we're broadcasting on a Monday, and that's something that's like as rare as like the unicorn. We just don't do it. We really don't. But but I'm enjoying this Monday. And I said, what couldn't we do on Monday? What can we do with the show today? And a lot of thoughts came to my mind. I said, well, I kind of want to celebrate the fact that we are celebrating on Friday, the 550th show. And so talk about some of the memories that I have over the years and some of the amazing interviews that we've done. And, I can just, we could kind of just shoot right off from the top of our heads and in terms of some of my favorite interviews and some of the folks who stand out in the broadcast and all that wonderful good stuff. So I think we'll kind of get into that a little bit. And I'm really pleased. And I've got quite a few of it to share with you guys this morning. So we're on until 9 Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central. And I look forward to kind of, going down memory lane, if you will, and listening to, sharing some of those stories. I think you'll, I think you'll enjoy them. Okay, so let's turn for a moment, Keisha, and let's talk a little bit about you. Now, you are in Maryland. What part of Maryland are you in?
I'm in Brandywine.
What is that near for folks? We are in New York. I'm in Brooklyn, and I know very little about Maryland.
It's not far from D.C.
Okay, so you're like up in that, we call the DMV type thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, which is that, what is it, D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia, right?
Virginia.
Okay.
Virginia,
Okay, yes. So great to have you with us. I want to mention you have something, and kind of choosing to be on the show today, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about this because a lot of hairstylists, they're kind of surprised to find out that the idea of suites, like the salon suite type idea, is not as ubiquitous. It's not as everywhere so much as it seems in the South and out in the Southwest. And I certainly can say that here in New York. Now, there are some, of course, but it's just the idea just, to me, that didn't seem to quite take hold yet. But can you tell us, first of all, what is the whole idea, Keisha, of the suites? Tell the listeners.
Pretty much, you have control of you, your identity, your brand. You're expanding yourself, your own business, basically.
Okay, but first, let's kind of paint the picture. So instead of a big hair salon, we're talking about kind of community type thing or communal thing where everybody, there may be several different hairstylists in one location or one building.
Right.
And then you may share like a sink or a bathroom or this or that or waiting area or things like that. Is that kind of the concept?
It's kind of the concept. There are a lot of them here in the area, different owners, or you can franchise different owners. You know, there's different ones. Yeah, there's different ones that call. You know, there's Sola. There's... the one that I'm at Solange Select Suites, which is black-owned. The owner, he's amazing.
Really? I didn't even know there were any that were black-owned. Wow.
The location I'm at is pretty large, but it's like 80 suites. And 80, all of them come
hold it. Let me sit down for this. Hold
80
it.
Suites in one
you
building,
You didn't say 80. 80 suites?
80, yes.
I think I just found my next business venture.
Wow. And I don't blame you. A lot of people are doing that. Franchising, yeah, I wouldn't blame you. You know, Phoenix, they have their own, you know, and they can be franchised as well. But like I said, the one that I'm at has 80 suites. And they're all different sizes. Some you can double up. You know, you can have someone in there with you if you choose. Some are single. Some are smaller. You know, just depending upon your creative area and how you want it, how you want to set up and rock with it. It's amazing. I love it. I've been doing it since 2019, and I love it. I love the space, your personal space. You get to interact a little bit better, you know, with your clients. A lot of the clients, especially more so now, you know, with COVID, it's more personalized. And you can only just have yourself and that client or that family, you know, in there at one at a time. So a little more personal.
Well, I love it also because it sounds like you have a support system built in. You know, many times when, and I've seen this throughout the years, you know, we've been here for about 25 years doing a version of this, the Hair Radio Show, I should say. And so I know a lot of the owners, they have a lot of, you know, weight on their back, literally, trying to run a salon. And the world is changing. You know, the communities are changing with regards to small businesses. And a lot of things are moving online and all of this. So brick and mortars have kind of had a rough going, especially through the pandemic. So I ask you, with that in mind, isn't it nice to have folks, you know, when you mention you have a building of 80 folks, 80, you know, suites, that must mean a great camaraderie, professional camaraderie. Hey, I don't have any more of this. Can you lend us some of that type thing? You know,
I mean, I like it. I say to myself, I mean, I talk to people, you know, if I see them out in the hall, you know, I talk, hey, how you doing? Or someone that I really, really know, you know, if they're not busy, sometimes we chit chat, chackle. But, you know, the good thing, it's women, and then there's barbers in there too, and it's like we have a main thing. We go in, we do our job. We don't have time for drama. We get in and we get out.
Wow.
But it's also, you know, like you said, it's like a family knit type thing. We look out for each other, you know, we make sure we're good, and I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, this sounds amazing to me. It really does. Hey, guys, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the On O'Hare Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and yes, we're live, and yes, it's a Monday morning. Very rare, very, very rare, and today's a very special broadcast. All week we're live, and with me on the line on this Monday morning, March 29th of 2021, I'm welcoming for the very, very first time, Keisha, out of the Maryland area, and we're kind of getting to know her.
Hey.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Running your own salon suite type thing out there in the wonderful Maryland and all of that. And I was just saying, as you guys, you know, if you've been listening at the top of this, that I don't see so many of them here in New York. But I'll tell you, I think one's about to open up. When I heard the number 80, I'll tell you that much. So it's the idea of go ahead, Keisha. What were you going to jump in with?
I mean, you don't have to do 80. You know, I would say start off with.
I don't mind 80.
A little.
I don't mind it. I don't.
It's like I am jumping head in first.
Yes, absolutely. Well, because you look at the, you know, it's a great thing for everybody because to me, as I was saying earlier, the stylist gets to be, you know, she has her own business and she's getting a break perhaps in terms of having a lot of extra overhead that she would totally have to carry on her back. And so by having some kind of way to alleviate some of that, by having the ability to, you know, be in a building with others,
so we're in the same boat and trying to get it done. And then also, I think it's a win-win for everybody, because as far as the folks who are the clients who are coming to these locations, now bear in mind, it's a great thing, because where Keisha is, maybe, you know, you have somebody on a different suite who is promoting their business and the location.
Right.
So folks are coming in there, they may be walking right past your door. So it just may be a really good thing. And then not only that, you get to, like I said, you get to share ideas. And like you said, Keisha, you may run into them in the corridor or what have you. Now, do you guys share, like, the waiting area, the front checkout or, you know, point-of-sale type stuff up at the very beginning, you know, front of the shop?
Yes, definitely. Way before COVID, you know, had started, you know, we had, like, a young lady came in. She was selling her products as far as, like, you know, earrings and maybe clothes and glasses and other parts. There was a gentleman, oh, my God, popcorn. It was so amazing.
Popcorn.
He had his popcorn.
Hold it. He sold popcorn?
Yeah, on that side.
Wow.
Yeah, popcorn. And then, you know, we had, you know, the vending machine and, you know, coffee, and then the receptionist desk, you know, who would let, you know, clients in, show them where the suites are if it was their first time visiting. But now, you know, with COVID, you know, you can't really hang out in the front.
Okay.
Due to COVID. Yeah. So,
right,
but,
right,
yeah, in the
right.
beginning, oh, yeah, awesome. Not a problem.
Well,
not a problem
I'm
at
still
all.
Gagging from the popcorn idea. Well, I've not heard of that. I didn't know the shop. I mean, I think that's a brilliant idea. I think I'll be pushing out some of my own Carapi brand popcorn soon.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, hey, ideas. I'm getting a whole bunch from this morning. Hey, folks, if you've just tuned in, I certainly want to welcome you to the broadcast. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Monday morning, March 29th of 2021. It's our show number 546. We're live. And I do want to say that again, 546. Now, Keisha. Keisha's joining me out of Maryland. You guys just kind of joining us. 546. We're marching to our 550th live show. Now, each broadcast is 3 hours. 3 hours.
Wow.
Each. We're on talking about hair, beauty, life. You know, we've got a lot of things to get to. Even this morning, we got the live talk. And we invite you, if you've got something to say, press 1 on your phone. And that'll be our indication that you want to speak this morning. If you've got shout-outs, any of those things, just press 1. We'll bring you on. You get a chance to talk live all around the world, literally. Now, I want to say, we've got listeners who, and I want to thank everybody. I got to do a roll call and thank everybody, Keisha, this morning, because we wouldn't be here. Generally, we're not here on Mondays. We usually do a repeat on Mondays, and we're live all the other days. But no. Today, we're live on this Monday morning. And I'm starting to like this Monday thing. I think we might come, you know, do some more live Mondays as we move along. You know, we're always live the rest of the week. We're always live Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But, no, I'm kind of feeling this morning, this Monday. You know, we get to talk a little bit more about business. We get to talk a little bit more about hair and beauty. We get to talk a little bit more about some of our celebrity talk and what's going on in the news and all that wonderful good stuff. So kind of real happy about that. So
nice.
So how do you like it so far, Miss Keisha from Maryland?
It's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's
well, I'm
great.
Glad you
can't complain.
Yeah. I'm glad you feel that way. Well, listen, if you guys are just tuning in, then you might not have heard that we let off the show this morning with, you know, there's so much going on, Keisha, just to kind of turn it for a quick moment. And I see some folks are looking and maybe have a comment or two. So we'll get to you guys in just one moment. But, yeah, when I look at the world, and right now in the news, everybody, you turn on your TV, you're going to hear about
the George Floyd incident. Not so much the incident per se, but the trial for the cop who snuffed out the life of George Floyd. And so this morning, I wanted to get on one of the attorneys. Quick interesting story is that this morning we played Lisa Bloom, television's Lisa Bloom, and she was on this morning with three Black Lives Matter protesters who all were on our show, and to talk about their own individual incidents. So there were three individual incidents, and these folks were all on with Lisa, and I had a chance to ask them all kinds of questions. So if you didn't catch it, you'll be able to play the show, the entire three-hour show, back after we wrap up at 9 o'clock this morning. So once the show wraps, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, we'll be sharing it through our social media. And you can go to my Facebook page under my name, Carrie Hines, or go to search the Hair Radio Morning Show. We actually have a actual business page there for the Hair Radio Morning Show, and you can find it there as well as just Google. You know, you could just Google. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, Keisha, it's so great because you can just say, Google the Hair Radio Morning Show, and boop, it pops up and tells you what it is and all that wonderful good stuff. So really, really good things. Hey, let me see if we can get someone. It looks like there is a person standing by. The last two digits of your phone number, if you can hear us, is 18, so 18. So I'm going to see if we can just kind of just bring them on in. Why don't we just kind of do that? Let's see. See if we can figure out who's standing by. Hi, good morning. You're live on the air on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, good morning. My name is Marcus. And,
hi, Marcus. Good morning. I'm Carrie.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Keisha. How you doing, Keisha?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. I she didn't know that I was going to call, and I'm a friend of hers right here. And
oh,
I'm calling from Washington.
Really?
Yeah, I'm calling.
Awesome.
Or whatever. Call in, so I'm calling in. I just wanted to tell her that I'm so, so, so very excited for her, and I'm so very proud of her, and I know that, you know, she can do great, 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 great things. You're just getting the tip of what you know, is in store. And, you know, she shares a lot with me and everything, but I just wanted to call in and tell her just how proud and excited I am for her. And, you know, I keep her in my prayers, and we will talk later, but because I'm actually on my – but, yeah.
Awesome. What do you say to that, Miss Keisha? Anything you want to say back to Mr. Marcus?
Oh, thank you so much. It was a surprise.
Later on, but like, yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm here. In support, yeah. Oh, yeah, myself.
I'm loving it. All right, Mr. Marcus, thank you so much. And I hope you're enjoying the show today. Hey, Keisha, so what do you say? You've got a fan club already, a built-in fan club.
And I didn't expect anybody to call in, but that was awesome.
Well, listen, that is awesome. And I'll tell you, I just enjoy it so much because it just reminds me our listeners are everywhere. And we have quite a few listeners here in the United States, of course, from coast to coast. Even though I'm live from Brooklyn, New York, and Keisha's on out of the Maryland area in the DMV spot out there in Maryland and the D.C. and Virginia area. I'm in Brooklyn, as I mentioned, and we've got listeners all the way out in California and Texas and all across America and down in Florida. And so I want to shout them out as well as our listeners in Europe. Right after America, my numbers say that we have the most listeners over in, Italy. Italy. So I have to shout you guys out this morning. The UK, India, we've got a lot of Australia, and certainly Nigeria, Ghana, and Egypt. So we are so excited, and many other places. So we want to shout all of our listeners. If you're listening this morning, we shout you out. All right, listen, let's take a quick music break, Keisha. We've got a lot to get through. I want to ask you you know, your take on the Gorilla Glue girl story. I also want to talk to you a little bit more about business this morning and a lot more. So we got to take a quick music break. Now this is one of my favorite artists. Her name is Lizzo. And she just pretty much came out of nowhere in my eyes in the last several years. But I'm a big fan. So we'll be right back. So it's only a few minutes. Stay with us. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the Ham Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
I do my head toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? Head toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling?
We carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Hi, everybody. Here's the true benefit of experience in a new book called Prestige by Jarrell Glass. It's all about professionalism in the barbering industry. Mr. Glass has said it all. Get your own copy of Prestige by Jarrell Glass at Amazon.com and listen to this new commercial airing on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Monday morning, March 29th of 2021. And I'm bringing to the line someone who I believe has just, you know, done a great job today. Keisha out of Maryland. She has her own salon suite. Yes, good morning to you. Yes, good morning and welcome back to the show. Yes, Keisha?
Yes,
did we lose
you.
Keisha? Oh, there she is. Okay. Good morning. So you're hanging
good morning.
In there with us on the Hair Radio, on this live Monday. And again, it's our show number 546. When you hear something like that, what do you think, Keisha?
Wow, it's amazing. It's a good accomplishment that's been
made, you
know?
Yes,
and it's,
that's
it's,
true.
It just shows that, you know, you're almost at the top. Well, you're at the top. And you just keep pushing, keep going, you know? Don't give
up.
Thank
you. Exactly, and I love those words. And that's right, we're celebrating our 550th episode this coming Friday, live on the air. So between the hours of 6 and 9 Eastern, 5 to 8 Central, I should say, you can tune in and listen. We've got some great surprise guests who will be with us, and we've got lots and lots of memories to talk about. One that we're going to get on in just a few minutes. You know, one of my favorite interviews that I did when I returned to the Hair Radio Morning Show, say about 6 years ago, to create this morning edition. Now, we've always had the Hair Radio Show in one capacity or one version or another over the years for 2.5 decades. But about 7 years ago, I guess, I decided to create the radio show into a morning brand, which would be more comprehensive, lifestyle-ish, in which we wouldn't just talk about hair and beauty, which we love to talk about, but we would talk about the things that are also important to those in the hair and beauty industry, and that's kind of what we've done. And the show's been very successful, as we just pointed out. We're celebrating 550 three-hour episodes, so we're well looking at the most successful hair radio show in the history of broadcasting. Also the very first ever on terrestrial AM/FM radio as well as the internet to do hair and beauty on a daily basis. The first still to do a three-hour show daily. So many firsts we're celebrating right here on the broadcast. What do you think about those numbers, Miss Keisha out of Maryland? Keisha, did we lose Keisha? Okay, well, Keisha may be over in our virtual green room. We'll see if we can get her back to the line. And while we do that, a couple of quick announcements coming up, and I'm real, real excited about this. On top of Friday, tomorrow's show on Tuesday, March 30th, we've got quite a few things that are going to be happening throughout the show, one of which is Cosmic Carlos. I know you've seen the signs throughout social media, across social media and all that wonderful good stuff. Cosmic Carlos is really going to provide a weekly summary, kind of like a roadmap if you are into the horoscopes and all that wonderful good stuff. And we're real excited about that, and we're happy to have him. I want to take a moment to just say we're on to some big things at Hear Radio. We love what you're doing. We love that you're part of what we're doing, and lots more of the Hear Radio Morning Show to go. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and got to pay the bills, and we're going to get on some business talk with these folks who are just have done some amazing things. And I want you to pay really close attention, because when we come back, we're going to talk about it live on today's broadcast. So thanks so much, and stay with us. Much more of the show to go. The reason that you're here is actually a very important subject and a very important topic, especially these days in light of where we are in the world. We're talking about finance, and I just wanted to first kind of talk about how you guys plan to kind of present your information to our listeners and to our fans, because you'll be doing this on a regular basis. So first, let me lead off with you, Reggie. Tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then certainly tell us how you plan to engage with our amazing fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show.
All right, thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Reggie Whiteley, coming to you from Southern California. 98 degrees today, so we're out here cooking. But previous background and not even financial services prior to this, came from the background of television production and was looking for something a little bit bigger and better as far as upper mobility and career advancement, and always knew that in financial services, and we're talking about financial literacy, money's always moving. And so got introduced to my current platform by a friend of mine, and hit the ground running. Got very excited about educating people and showing them different avenues and strategies on where to put their money. And look up now, I've been doing this for the last eight and a half years. So been a blessing. And the key thing today I want you to walk away with are some potential financial strategies and at least get a sound financial education or some strategies to put in your portfolio.
Awesome. And Michael, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hi, my name is Michael Gilbreth, and I'm coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And my background is simply a military one. I come from a military family. My father served in the United States Air Force for 20 years. And, growing up in a stable environment, I never really realized, the financial picture as much as I do now. My father was a very good provider. As I became an adult, I ran into some financial struggles myself until I actually had to learn about finances and how to best utilize my money. And so that's what, I liked about getting into this business here. Working with people and families to help them to realize their financial dreams, and that we don't necessarily have to struggle as long as we know what to do with our money.
Well, I think that is a very, very valid point, especially these days. Reggie, I have to ask you, when it comes to this big, big picture of finance, sometimes we feel a little overwhelmed. What kind of advice can you give to someone to kind of be able to start slowly and kind of lead them where you need us to go to help improve our lives, financially speaking?
Great question. I learned early on that one method you have to incorporate, when it comes to saving money and things of that nature, is you have to pay yourself first. I think when we get our income or as individuals get their checks, they take care of all the bills and all their other priorities and food and everything like that. And what happens, what we see with most families and business owners, they have more month than money because they haven't paid themselves first. And so we want to, again, put in some strategies and methods, especially if a person is new to saving money or investing, just really give them a grassroots education of what to do and how to do it. And it all starts with consistency and discipline.
Is it ever too late to start? I mean, a lot of us are past, 21 years old or what have you, and we are concerned. And some, we're like, well, you know what? It's too late for me to begin. What do you say to someone who might feel that it's too late to start?
Definitely. Great question, Carrie. I get that all the time. But, again, if you have the right vehicles where folks are saving money, it's never too late to start. Even if they don't have haven't been exposed to some of those vehicles, it's never too late to start because you'd rather have something than nothing. Most folks look up by the time they're 65, 67 years old and haven't put away much or if anything, and now we see a lot of our senior community, things of that nature, having to go back to work because they never started at all.
And especially now, and I have to say, and Michael, you could even jump in on this, son. Folks are out there dealing with so much in the way of this huge pandemic that has stricken the world, literally. Isn't it kind of important that folks take another look and need to stretch their monies as far as they can?
Absolutely, Carrie. One of the things that you'll hear a lot of the seniors say is that they're on a fixed income.
Right, right.
And because they're on a fixed income, they have to cut out certain things in life that they enjoy because they just can't simply afford it anymore once they stop working. What we try to do is help our clients to not realize that, to look beyond a fixed income and look more towards an unlimited income so that in their retirement years they can enjoy retirement. You know, when you spend all your years working, you want to be able to enjoy your latter years when you're retired, to be able to travel and maybe do some of the other things that you have not been able to do. So to answer your question, you know, anyone can benefit from what we have to offer. There is no age limit or age requirement. Like Reggie said, it's better to have something in your portfolio or more in your portfolio than nothing.
Awesome. All right, Reggie, let's talk a little bit more about that. How would you describe what you're offering to give folks that hope?
Well, what I love about our platform is our marketing firm, is World Financial Group. And so we have a huge and broad array of financial services that really cater to middle-income families. We have tons of high-end clients as well, but 98% of families, make less than $100,000 a year. And so most of them don't have access to a financial professional. Is a stat out there, 9 out of 10 middle-income families do not have a financial professional, so they don't know, where to go to get products and services. So we make sure through our trust relationships and our warm market type of referral programs and things of that nature to get into different communities and educate different communities. It's really a new idea to an old industry to how we educate families.
I think that is just amazing. And so you say families, but what about some of the other businesses that are out there? Would these instruments help these folks who have small businesses?
Absolutely, especially depending on whether, for example, it's an S Corp, C Corp, or LLC, or LLP, or sole prop. You know, a business objective is to stay in business. So when you incorporate different strategies that tackle taxes, business retention, business continuation, most business owners don't have these vehicles implemented to some of their portfolios, and they pay tons in taxes. You know, there are things that we offer, executive bonus plans, key person, ILITs, premium financing, is something that's very huge in with businesses. And so, absolutely. And so you could also, and most folks don't even know they have access to this stuff just because, again, that's my last point, nobody's ever sat down and educated them. So definitely tons of tax benefits for business owners and simple solutions.
Well, I just think this is going to be awesome. And the fans out there, they will, because they've been asking these questions and they've been waiting for us to get some financial folks on who can certainly be that beacon. So I'm super excited. And you say the name is World Financial Group. So they tell us a little bit more about the company.
So World Financial Group, we are part of Transamerica. And there's a company out in the Netherlands by the name of Aegon that actually bought Transamerica. They wanted to have a presence in the United States, and Transamerica was already here, and Transamerica was doing very well. And so WFG was formed out of Transamerica. We are like a marketing arm for them. And we have – the good thing about what we do, Carrie, is that we're not captive, meaning that we're not just relegated to one product. So we have – that means that we have access to about 205 different financial firms, about 3,500 financial products, which makes us very unique in the sense that we have a solution for everybody. And so no matter what your situation is, no matter how old you are, we have a solution that's going to meet your needs. And that is the good thing about what we do.
Okay. Well, I have to just put it on out there and address the elephant in the room. When folks hear the name Transamerica, they sometimes can coil. And I don't know, is it that we lump that name in? I'm sorry. That's not the one that we actually lump in with that, but they're these names that we kind of throw them all together when it comes to financial, these financial companies that are out there. What can you tell us that will make everybody understand that this company is different?
Great question. I'll take that one if you don't mind, Mike. You know, and there are, like you said, there are tons of financial services companies where individuals and businesses can go out and get insurance and investment planning. But what I think really differentiates us is our opportunity. Our business opportunity, if you will, where you can literally take somebody traditionally not from financial services, plug them in here, and through our platform and our training program, turn them into a finance professional. It is the best part-time business opportunity on the planet with because everybody wants to be in business or in the money game, in my opinion, but they do other things. And, you know, whatever, you know, soothes their heart, that's fine. But at the end of the day, if you're going to have a business, it's going to take capital, which most people don't have. And so with our platform, you have no overhead. You know, I'm blessed to have multiple agents throughout the United States and Canada, and I don't have to worry about payroll. I don't have to worry about insurance. I don't have to worry about headaches, you know. And so it gives right now, especially in our climate, with 40 million people and growing out of work, you think about if they had access to an opportunity that paid out $845 million in commissions last year, right?
Wow.
Or a platform where they implemented some of the strategies that were able right now, will come to, let's say right now, allow them to save, you know, have an extra $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in their nest egg or in their savings account. And so, again, you know, you have hundreds of financial services companies, you know, your Merrill Lynch's and your Charles Schwab's and your Edward Jones, and they're all great companies, but the way we distribute our services and things of that nature is second to none. And folks just don't have the time or the temperament really to take tons and tons of time off of work and learn something new, but if they could do it part-time in the comfort of their own home, you know, during the time of era we're in right now, it's a win-win.
Well, I tell you, I can tell you that the fans are very, very much looking for something from you guys. Yes, well, this is very important. Finance is never a style, and it's always welcome to these conversations. And for you guys who are just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. My very, very special guest today, two gentlemen from the world of finance. We're talking to Mr. Reginald Whiteley and Mr. Michael Gilbreth. Again, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie, and hello, everyone.
Absolutely. And, well, thank you. And when we say welcome, we mean a big welcome. because you guys are going to be, yes, you're going to be providing some information on a regular basis about finance. And again, this huge world we're talking about today, we're just giving an overview, if you will. And so, you know, and one of the things that kind of jumped out at me before, there's always been like this kind of under-education when it comes to finance. Mm-hmm. Why do you guys think that's the case? I mean, is it the case?
Well, Mike, you want to go first on that one?
Is under-education the case? Is that the question?
Yes, that's the question.
Yes. Under-education is definitely the case. I mean, if you think about it, how did the majority of us learn about finances? For me, I learned basically by trial and error, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something that's taught in school. I definitely didn't learn about it in elementary school, high school, even in college. I didn't really learn about finances and the different things that you can do. So through trial and error and reading, you know, I read books and, you know, going to the internet to find out information. So a lot of us are self-taught when it comes to financial affairs. The reason why maybe it's not something that's as wholesome and taught like science, maybe it's a way to keep people in the dark, you know, because obviously those who have money know how to get it, know how to utilize their money. And those of us that are accustomed to not having much and living paycheck to paycheck, a lot of times it's just because we're not informed. And it's a way to, I guess, suppress people in a sense. But we have to have a made-up mind to where we're determined to step outside of the norm and really get out of our, I would say, out of our comfort zone to learn more and all that we can so that we can create wealth. Not just wealth for today, but wealth for generations to come, you know, for our kids' kids, and et cetera down the line. We need to be able to create generational wealth. And I think for people of our kind anyway, it's very important that we start to do that so that we can start having our own and not depending upon someone else's brand. We can create our own brand.
Absolutely. Well, I there's nothing to add on to that comment.
Absolutely not. Thank you.
Yes. I want to just ask you, gentlemen, about this. How important and in the way of community, does community play a part at all in getting the financial literacy that we need to get across to everybody? Is there a way that we can somehow inspire the greater folks out there in the community? What do you guys say to that thought?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of piggyback what Mike was talking about, you know, the old saying, it takes a community
to raise
a child.
Yeah.
Take a village, right? And so it does take a community, and it takes strong leadership, you know, in my opinion, to make sure that these philosophies and strategies are implemented, especially in, you know, communities of color. Because like Mike pointed out, you know, this is not taught in schools or anything of that nature. There are three states that actually teach financial education, you know, in the classroom, in elementary classroom. But everybody's teaching sex ed, right?
Right.
And so it does take a community. And I think we're getting to the time and the era where people are kind of fed up with, you know, not learning, not knowing how to, you know, budget their finances or even be a business owner. And so what I love about our platform, that's the main purpose of why we exist, teaching you how to be in business and have different write-offs and, you know, if you do have some sort of business. But definitely we all have to work together to get access to all these strategies and financial education. So everybody's got you.
Awesome. And thank you mentioned that, how you, you're out in California and Minnesota. So
yes, sir.
What about the folks, our fans, we have folks tuned in from literally all over America. Are you in a position to help folks with any types of questions that they might have, financially speaking? Does it matter what state they're in other words?
No, not at all. Actually, you know, and my heart goes out to anybody that's been affected through, you know, COVID-19 and
right.
things of that nature. So, you know, definitely keeping them in our prayers. On a business standpoint, you know, people are you know, people's business, excuse me, are exploding just because of the timing. You know, timing is everything. If you look at it from a business standpoint, and if you're looking to for some education or financial services, you know, in this Zoom era or Google Meets or, you know, different platforms we utilize now to reach out to anybody throughout the world. And so those have been our main platforms educating anybody throughout the United States and Canada.
Awesome. Well, I am very, very excited. We're going to tell the fans right now that you'll be able to go to our Salon TV Network app and submit your questions. Okay. So we'll get you more involved and informed exactly how that's going to work as you guys begin to roll out your wonderful, wonderful financial broadcast right here.
Fantastic.
On the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to be talking about that. Yes, awesome. So any last words or kind of what you mentioned about what you would like us to have as our takeaway, but do you want to expound on that just a bit so we know what to walk away with this morning?
Yeah, if I may, I would just say, you know, start to, again, like I mentioned before, start to pay yourself first. I know whether it's even, you know, $10, $20, because most families run into some tough times or hit a tough spot to where some extra money is needed. So, again, I think discipline and consistency with something, especially saving money, will help you in the long run. And then if, you know, we have the opportunity to speak to one of us or one of our associates, then we definitely can potentially implement something that can get you saving in a much better position.
Yeah. So
save, save, save.
Wow. Okay. Well, did you want to add to that?
Yes, sir. I'd like to add to that. This is Michael in Minneapolis again. But, you know, God has given us the blueprint when it comes to putting away money. He gave us the blueprint through the tithe. When he talks about the 10%. You know, God only requires of us to give him 10%. So guess what? That leaves 90% of monies that we make that we can do whatever we want to with it. The question is, do we take that 90% and just blow it? Do we take that 90% and maybe spend surplus things that we don't necessarily need? Or do we take that 90% to take care of our needs and also set ourselves up for a future? Not only our future, but our kids' future, and so on and so forth for generations to come. You know, there's a way that we can take the money that we make and divvy it out accordingly so that we can live the type of life that we want to live. And I'll ask the prefaces, not just for today, but we have to think beyond today. We have to think beyond what we see now and think about what the future is going to look like. None of us knew that we'd be in the era of COVID-19 right now. But guess what? This is where we are. We don't know what to come in the future either. So what can we do to protect our families, protect our monies, protect our futures by putting aside, like Reggie said, putting aside a little bit here, a little bit there, so that we can grow.
Well, on that note, Mr. Michael and Mr. Reggie, I have to say thank you both. I really do.
Thank you. This has
just been an awesome, awesome time spent discussing finance. And you've always been just excited, really. So,
really,
and Ms. Michael, I want to do again seeing what's on the show.
Thank you, sir.
Keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. She actually is a hairstylist, and I should say a superstar celebrity hairstylist and author. It is the Hair Radio Morning Show's great honor to welcome Miss Kim Berry. Good morning, Kim. Good morning to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It is truly a great special honor for us. Let's just start and jump right on in. We need to tell everybody what makes you a celebrity superstar stylist and one of your most notable clients, of course, the one and only Prince. Let's start there, Kim. First, tell us a little bit about yourself first. Now, you're based out where? Where are you based?
Los Angeles, California, born and raised.
Oh, really? You were actually born in, I don't know anybody who was actually born in Los Angeles.
Yes. Born and raised. My mother and father are from the country, North Carolina and Tennessee, so everybody think I'm from the country because I got their ways, but I'm born and raised in Cali.
Well, listen, we have a lot in common because same thing here. My parents are from North Carolina, and I lived out in Los Angeles, but you were actually born there, so that is amazing. I love that. So now tell everybody, you are a celebrity stylist. I call you a celebrity stylist. Sometimes folks, some of the hairstylists don't want to be known as a celebrity stylist. They don't want to be referred to that way. Does it bother you when someone says celebrity stylist?
No, I actually like it. I'm sorry. I was like, you know, you worked in the industry long enough. You're owed your dues. I appreciate the tag. I appreciate
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely fit the bill. So I want to, yes, well, absolutely. First of all, you have notably one of the most famous clients in the world. There is very, very few folks other than the late Prince who would be on par if there was such. So let's turn to that. Let's go back a little bit, Kim. Now, I also want to tell everybody, first of all, one of the reasons you've been out, you've talked a little bit, I saw some things online, you have authored a book that kind of chronicles a lot of this, I'm sure. Which I'm very proud about. And that book is called Diamonds and Curls with a Z. I love that on the end there.
Yeah.
Yes, and about your life working with Prince. So let's start at the beginning. I know you've been asked a lot of these questions I've seen, but I think it's a remarkable story, and I'm very excited to have you on board. So let's start at the beginning. How did this all come about? Are you what I did uncover – which I thought was a hilarious story. I did catch part of it where the Prince's former stylist before you pretty much quit on the job, so to speak. Can you, do you remember that story? Can you please tell our audience? I think it's hilarious how just the thought of it cracks me up. Yes, please share that story, Kim.
Yes, I had been actually dating Prince's bodyguard, and I just kept asking him, you know, get me a job.
Well, now,
you know,
that
so
wasn't Big Coco,
together.
Was it?
Yes, it was Big
Coco.
Okay. And so I had done my research. Yes, I had been dating him for a while, and so finally he started taking me around to the camp, and I would hang around, you know, at the video shoots and photo shoots and things. So Prince is very astute and always watching the area, so he knows when there's someone new in the area. So he's always watching you. So I had been, like, I'd go whenever I go to the sets, I would always go to wherever the hairstylist and the makeup artist was. So finally I met Tanya, who was his stylist at the time, and so we just clicked, and, you know, you just meet genuine people and you become friends. And so she and I were hanging out, and she was just complaining one day, and she was like, you know what, I'm tired of doing this. I want to go home. I don't want to live out of a suitcase. And I was like, girl, you got the best job in the world. She's like, it's not what you think. And I said, Lord have mercy. I said, once I, it's funny how you covet someone else's life, but you don't know what they go through in the course of a day. And so she was like, it's not what you think, Kim. And I said, I think you work for the biggest entertainer in the world. And she was like, Kim, it's not what you think. And sure enough, my mother used to tell us all the time, you know, be careful. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And she went into, we were on a video set. I forgot what set it was that he was shooting that day, but she went into the room with Prince, and he snatched a comb out of her hand. And she said, you know what? She said, my lips are chapped from kissing your little black ass. I'm out of here. And she literally, after the video set, she packed her stuff up and she left. And I said, when you call it a holy hookup, that I was standing there and got this introduction. I had been hanging out with her. I had formed a friendship. And so the people in the camp knew who I was, you know, and it was just interesting that what God has for you is for you, and not even the gates of hell going to keep you from it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And see, she quit, and I call it the holy hookup that I was standing there. They were going to Germany the next day, and so they left to go to Germany. He said, tell Tanya to get the salon ready, and all the team was like, no, Tanya quit. Because, you know, Prince is used to being Prince, so he talks crazy to you, and the next day, of course, he knows you're going to be there. No,
right.
This day, Tanya packed her stuff and left. And so he said, so what do you mean? I'm going to Germany without a hairstylist? And they were like, yeah, they didn't know what to tell him. And so he was baffled, so they had to hire somebody when they got there. He hated the person. He wound up doing his own hair for the show that night. And so they come back to Los Angeles, and Coco said, get your stuff ready. He said, meet me at this club in Beverly Hills. And he said, bring your portfolio. I got my portfolio. And one thing my parents used to always instill in me, you know, if you stay ready, like the rapper say, you ain't got to get ready.
That's
so I had been doing photo shoots. I had been stacking pictures. I had my book ready. Went to the club. They had already made preparations for me to get in. And God was just awesome. It was just a move of God. So we laid the book on the table. I approached him. He looked at me like, how did you get to my table? And I was like, my name is Kim Berry. I know you don't have a hairstylist. I said, and I'd love to, you know, do your hair. And so he looked at me. He opened the book. He said, so you do hair, you know, in his, you know, snide remark way. And I said, yeah. He said, you got a salon? I said, yeah. He said, go hook it up. And so I already knew. I had been watching her, following everything she was doing, and I noticed on her table she had this hairspray. I went and bought it. If she had this gel, I went and bought it. So I was duplicating her table, never thinking that I would ever get the opportunity to do Prince. But I said, if she's using it, I'm going to use it because she's a celebrity stylist. And so my dad used to tell me growing up, preparation, success is when preparation meets opportunity. When the opportunity presents itself, will you be prepared? And literally, the opportunity presented itself. I went to the salon. I blacked out the windows. I knew how to do that. I got the salon ready. And about an hour later, I get a phone call, and he said, Kim, this is Prince. And I said, oh, my God. And so he says, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, oh, okay, well, no problem. I said, next time, you know, you in Los Angeles, just know you got a hairstylist. He said, well, do you travel? Now, mind you, I'm 19, 20 years old. I ain't never left Inglewood, let alone California. And so I said, yes. And yes just popped out of my mouth. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I just say? He said, okay, great. He said, we're sending a car to come pick you up. He said, meet us at the airport. I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, is there a problem? I said, no. He said, I said, oh, my God, in my mind, I'm freaking out. And so I was like, meet him at the airport. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening? But that's just how Prince does. He get down. Everybody that you know that has worked for him has the same remarkable story, like it's on the spot, you're getting hired. And wow. So literally, I called my mother. I hung up the phone, and I called my mother. I was like, oh, my God, I just talked to Prince. She said, stop lying. I said, no. I just talked to Prince. I said, he said that they're sitting in the car. I said, I don't have no clothes. I don't have no. She said, you better get to that airport. She said, take your curling irons and your hairspray, and you get to that airport. And she said, I'm going to send you some money in the morning. You go to Target, buy you some clothes, and you keep on moving. I said, oh, my God. So I literally took the coat on my back and my curling irons and jumped in. They sent the limousine. I went to LAX. Him and his brother was on the plane. I walked past them, sat down on the plane, flight booked, everything.
When
first
you say
time
on
thought,
a plane,
no,
was this a commercial plane?
No, commercial or airline, yes.
Okay.
So for most part, he did commercial. And I just couldn't believe it was happening. I was like, oh, my God, there's Prince. And went and got on sat down on the plane. And first time I got off the plane, I saw snow. I was like, oh, my God, it's
that's
Christmas
like you're from
Eve.
California. That's
yes.
Great.
So Seasons was the first time I met Seasons, was traveling with Prince. And so saw snow. I got to the gates open to Paisley Park, and I was like, oh, my God, it does exist. Wow. They walk me through the back door. I go upstairs to the hair salon in the back room, and it was just amazing. I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. So his brother walks in. His brother said, okay, you're going to do me first. And I said, okay, great. So I'm trained for this. So my beauty school teacher would hand me 6 or 7 towels at a time, train me on speed, train me on ability. And he said, look, he said, quality and then quantity, never sacrificing one for the other. He said, your first head needs to look as good as your last head. So I said, okay, got it. I've already been trained, got it. I've already been putting it in my path and getting me ready for the opportunity such as this. And I did his brother hair and 4 women that were there hanging out with them that night, and one behind the other, bam, knocking down heads. So his brother said, okay, well, he'll be in a few minutes. I said, okay, 1 hour goes by. 2 hours go by. I'm sitting there. I'm looking around. Now, I'm in Paisley Park. You can see the purple rain jacket in the corner, a raspberry beret outfit. There's jewelry laying around. I sat there with my hands in my lap, and I said, Mama used to say, if you go in somebody else's house, you don't touch nothing that don't
exactly.
belong to you. I sat right there for 2.5 hours with my hands in my lap. I said, okay, I don't know what's going on, but if they don't know that I know that it's a camera's watching me, I
exactly.
said, okay. So finally his brother.
Well, you were very smart for 19, though. You're very
absolutely.
smart. That was very
absolutely.
Wild.
Absolutely, yeah. Mama didn't play that.
They taught
mama
you very trained well.
Me. Absolutely. So I sat there, and his brother stuck his head in the door and said, you didn't steal nothing, did you? I said, excuse
oh,
me, first
no.
of all. I said, Mom, I knew this was a test. I said, my mom ain't raised no fools. I said, second of all, quit playing with me. I got to go to the bathroom. He said, you could have went to the bathroom. He was, and so he's laughing at me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, I ain't moving through this man's house. This is his house. And so he said,
the same way. That's
yeah.
Right.
And so I stayed right there. And so he said, okay, for real. So I got settled. And he said, okay, for real. He coming in a few minutes. I said, don't you leave me sitting here. Now, mind you, Paisley Park is a self-contained. They call it a creative battleship. And so inside Paisley Park, there's kitchens. So they can make their own food. There's studios. There's a hair salon. There's a dance studio, there's a disco, there's a performance area. That, like, this place is massive.
And
when
there are elevators inside there. We saw a little bit of it. There are elevators inside there.
It's a complete compound. It is
compound,
amazing.
Yeah.
Even now, when Oprah Winfrey came, Oprah Winfrey was like, I thought Harpo Studios was huge. She said, my studio will fit inside of here. She said, this is massive. So if you would impress Oprah Winfrey, you know you're doing something.
You got that right. And
yes,
I've only known one or two to do that. So you're right.
Absolutely. Yes. And
wow.
So finally, Prince stuck his head in the door, and I was like, oh, my God, he's so little. Like, it didn't matter. Like, when you see Prince on stage, he's larger than life. He is this huge
right.
entity. But when you see him in person, he's a small stature man. He's
That's
very
right.
quiet. He's very humble. He's very meek. And he used to ask me all the time, you know, I got like 10 personalities. I was like, yeah, I met all of them. So it's a different Prince in every element of the – but he stuck his head in the door. He said – yeah, I love your work, he said, but you can't have those nails in my head. He said, I'm tender-headed. I said, okay, click, 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 click. I just started breaking off all 10 nails right there in front of it. He started laughing. He said, oh, my God. He said, you are so funny. He said, okay, yeah, you're going to work. He said, go back to the hotel. We're going to Miami in the morning. I said, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, no, I'm good. Don't worry about it. It's too late. He said, well, I'll see you in Miami. I'll see you at the airport. I was like, oh, my God. So I'm packing up my stuff, and I'm just like, so did I just get hired? What just happened? I was like, oh, my God. So we get to Miami. We stay there for a few days. He says, him, order whatever you want. He said, just hang out. I'll let you know when I'm ready to get my hair done. I said, okay. But a few days later, he called me. He said, we're going to Chicago in the morning. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, don't worry about me. I'm good. I said, okay. So I called my mother. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm moving from city to city. My mom said, just keep going. Keep going. She had sent me some money. I went to Target before we got on the airplane. I bought me some clothes. I said, oh, my God. I was like, what is happening? I was asking my mother. I said, who lives like this? My mother said, you do. And that's
wow.
when my reality shifted, and I was like, I'm a celebrity hairstylist. Like, I'm rolling with Prince. So Prince rolls with his bodyguard, his hairstylist, and sometimes that's just it, his bodyguard and his hairstylist. But we were going from city to city. They were partying. They were doing their thing. And every night he called me, Kim, you good? Okay, just get what you want. Just let, you know, I'll see you in the next city. Finally, we get to New York. And I had been with him like 2 weeks by then. He still didn't get his hair done. He said, Kim, get the salon ready. I said, okay, here we go. So I get the salon. I find the salon. I got a private room. I set everything up. I got everything laid out exactly how he's used to seeing it. So and knowing that he's a creature of habit, I had studied Tanya's habits. Yes. And so I got ready. He walked in. We had a consultation. He said, okay, I want color. I want a perm. He said, you know, I need a cut. And he said, so, you know, let's do it. Now, before we get to him, his brothers tell me on the way to the salon, don't touch his ears. Don't look him in the face. Don't do this. Don't spill water on him. I said, wait a minute, Doc. Y'all making me nervous. I said, I do this for a living. Don't you mess me up. And he said, no. He said, and then what was funny was everything they told me don't do, I did. I said, but the prince took it all in stride. And when I tell you that I hooked that hair up, I said, Kim, breathe. I said, you got this. Relax. He ain't no different than nobody else.
He's just a person.
I said,
exactly.
Yeah, I said, you do this. I spilled water down his face while he was in the shampoo bowl. He said, okay, lady, wait a minute. It tastes like you're trying to drown me. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I touched him up. I got it back together. We finished that hair. He looked in the mirror, did his little left-right look. He spun around on them heels. He was like, okay. He said, see you later. He said, your limo's waiting for you outside. And he spun around on them heels and disappeared into a puff of purple smoke. And I was like, I looked out the window. The limo driver was waving at me. He said, I was like, okay, Kim, yeah, you a celebrity hairstylist. I said, wow. And literally I've been rolling with him for 29 years after that. It was the most amazing journey I had ever experienced, you know. And I take nothing for granted. I thank God that he could have chose anyone else. And he did. There were other hairstylists that came in and out throughout my career. But Kim always got the call to come back.
Wow.
And it was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I can speak to one thing only with regards to ever seeing Prince. I saw him one time live.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ran into him in Los Angeles. I remember this. It was the early 90s, and myself and one of my colleagues and at the time, we were in the airline business, of course, and I remember flying out to Los Angeles. And we showed up at this club. It was all the rage back in the early 90s. It was on Sunset, called Roxbury.
Yeah.
And Prince was there. We were on the second floor. And they let us into Roxbury. Now, this Roxbury club, they had, when I tell you they had all these fancy cars pulling up.
Absolutely.
And I do mean fancy. It was right there off that little turn off Sunset. It was on Sunset, if I recall.
Yeah,
and I remember all these fancy cars. Now, my friend Richard and I, we showed up. Do you remember the station wagons that had the little panel on the side?
Yes,
you may not go back that far, Kim, but they had station wagons with the panel on the side. Now, we showed up at the Roxbury getting out of a station wagon with the panel on the side.
Right.
And
okay.
We go up to the door, and the gentleman says, you know, he looks at our ID. He sees we're from New York. He knows that we are definitely not the typical caliber that's coming into the club. Well, we didn't know this. I don't even remember how we ended up there, but we didn't know it at the time. So we go in, and we heard that Madonna's dancers were there, and they had all these people. We didn't hear that Prince was there, but they had all these other celebrities who were there. And we ended up on, they had a balcony on the second floor, and who do we see but Prince. We're seated on the second floor. Prince literally walks by with, we assumed, his bodyguard.
Yes.
It was he and one fellow. That was it. So it kind of fits in with everything that you said. And he just walks by us, but the bodyguard gives us a look like, don't approach him, don't ask. So we did.
Right.
And he walked by. He wasn't much taller than us sitting down as he walked by, and I'm not exaggerating. And that was the only time that we ever had any, that I've ever had any run-in, if you want to call it a run-in, but he walked right by me. So I never forgot that. Now, I have to say, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest with us today, her name is Kim Berry, and she is what I, by all accounts, to be a celebrity superstar hairstylist, and she is also an author, and her book, so super popular out there, called Diamonds and Curls, and that's with a Z, and this is about her life story with none other than Prince, the superstar. So I have to say, Kim, let's pick up with that, or even go back a little bit. Now, where did all of this come from? I know that you were in, you had gone to beauty school and all that, but what about before that? What inspired you out in the California and the L.A. area to get into hair care and all of that? What was that inspiration? And then we'll move to the book.
What's really hilarious is I had no inclination, never thought about being a hairstylist.
Really?
I was going to school. I was going to be a doctor. And I was going to, you know, whatever, you know, life was going to take me. I had graduated early from high school, top 10% of my class.
Wow.
So I told Mom, I said, I did everything you told me to do. I said, I'm taking a year off. She said, a year off? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not going to college right away. I'm just going to chill out. I said, and you know, just find myself. I said, I didn't, you know, have no babies. I brought you a diploma. I did everything you told me to do. I said, now I'm just going to chill. She said, okay, great. So about 2 or 3 months into that, she said, what you getting ready to do? I said, I'm sorry, what are you talking about? I said, I'm taking a year off. I'm just going to chill. And she said, no, ma'am. She said, ain't but one queen in this house. She said, so you going to get up? You going to get a job? You going to school? Or you going to get the hell out of my house? I said, wait a minute. I'm the baby. I done did everything. I did everything you told me to do. I said, I can't chill. I said, the boys is chilling. Why I can't chill? She said, Kim, did you hear what I said? So I got mad, went walking up the street down to Crenshaw Boulevard in L.A.,
yes.
And walked up into Pacific Beauty College. So I just walked in. I said, let me go see what they talking about in here. And walked in Pacific Beauty College, sat down at the table with Mr. Cedric Goins, the owner of the school. He told me everything about his beauty college and what it entailed. And I was like, well, forget it. I'm going to just do this for the meantime just to get her off my back. So before I knew it, Mr. Goins had me signing on the dotted line. He said, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I said, wait, tomorrow? School start tomorrow? He said, yes. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, make sure your lab coat is bright and white. Make sure your shoes is clean because I will lock you outside. I said, I'm sorry. What
wow.
did I just sign up for? So sure enough, got my things ready for school. I came home, brought the paperwork, showed it to my mother. I said, well, I hope you happy. I go to beauty school now. She said, I hope you happy. And went in her room and closed the door. I said, oh, my God. I said, this lady here. I said, what did I do? So sure enough, went to beauty school. Every day there was a teacher there, Miss Cooper. She used to ask me every day, what are you doing here, Barry? I said, I'm here because my mother making me come here. She said, oh, really? She said, oh, well, you know by the end of these 12 months, I'm going to turn you into a hairstylist. I said, you're not going to turn me into nothing. I'm just here because I gotta be here so my mother stay off my back. She said, yeah, okay. So sure enough, about 6 months into the course, mind you, this is a 12-month course that I finished in 9 months because I was so mad. I did not miss a day. I went every day. I wanted to get this over with. I was mad. I joined in the middle of the summer. My friends are like, Kim, come on. We're going to the beach. We're going to Disneyland. We go. I said, no, I got to go to school. I'm not playing with y'all. I'm going to knock this out. In the course of being in beauty school, I met a young sister named Pat who had been there for almost 4 years. I said, you know that's not real college, right? You know we supposed to get out of here in this year. So I knew that I wasn't going to prolong this no longer than I had to. So sure enough, 6 months into the course, they did a statewide competition. 200 kids came out from all over California. You had to bring a model. We didn't know that it was a head-to-toe competition. I just happened to tell one of my homegirls, can I use you as a model? She was like, yeah. So I said, okay, I knew she was an only child, spoiled rotten. I said, okay, bring your stuff. Her mother had bought her like 6 or 7 prom dresses. She came dressed to the nines. When I tell you, beautiful gown, gloves, diamonds, the whole nine. So, for the getting her ready for the hair show, I was like, do you mind if I cut your hair? She was like, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I turned my sister's hair orange. I turned it pink. I said, oh, my God. I kept going back to Miss Cooper, like, can you help me? She said, no, go to your textbook. Now, mind you, she helping everybody in the school. I said, oh, my God. I was like, you helping this person? You helping that person? She said, go back to your textbook. I was like, what in the world? So I said, okay. Finally figured out her hair color, got her color corrected, got her straight. We go to the competition. Like I said, my girl showed up, head to toe, beautiful gown. Hair butter was whipped. So we get to the competition. It's a two-day competition. Out of 200 kids, I placed top 10. So out of the top 10, the top 10 come back the next day. And she showed up again, bam, banging hair, bam, banging dress, outfit, outstanding. We get to the competition. Out of top 10, Kim Berry takes first place. When
get
they hand me
here.
The trophy, absolutely. When they hand me the trophy and the check, Miss Cooper walks over to me and she said, no help from her, mind you. She was watching from a distance, though. She said, didn't I tell you I was going to turn you into a hairstylist? I said, oh, my God. I said, so I didn't know I was getting Mr. Miyagi's wax on, wax on, wax on. I said, it was so intricate of how all of these people played a part in my journey to get me to the finish line. Like I said, Mr. Goins, the owner of the school, built my speed up. Ms. Cooper made sure that my technique was on point because everything was by the book. She took me out of class early one Easter and made me go on the floor. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, I don't have no business on the floor. I just started in beauty school. She said, you got this, Kim. I'm doing this lady's hair. Did a pocket curl, burned this lady's hair. She walked up to me. She said, Kim, she said, did you burn this lady's hair? I said, absolutely not. She walked through this lady's head and found the exact spot. I had took the curl, put it in my pocket. They call it a pocket curl. Put the curl in my pocket. I was like, she said, now, the next time, she said, first of all, these people know that you're in beauty school. Now, the next time I ask you, did you make a mistake, just say yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to leave the floor. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to shrink up. She said, these people know that you're in beauty school, so it's okay. They're willing to take the risk because they know that, you know, you're learning. I was like, wow, who knew? I said, I was so embarrassed. She was like, now finish this lady's hair and let's keep on going. And so they gave the lady a little gift certificate to come back and get her hair done again and, you know, for free and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, my God. I said, didn't even know that all of this was building me up, building my character to get me ready for the real test that I was about to, you know, the journey that I was about to partake in. So everybody along your path, you have to know that it's some form of an angel, some form of a teacher. So it was just an incredible journey getting to this point because I never thought about doing hair, didn't want to be a hairstylist. Knocked that 12-month course out in 9 months when I graduated and still 30 years later went back to the beauty school. Mr. Goins said, I always talk about you. I tell all my students about Kim Berry, that Kim Berry is a celebrity hairstylist. Matter of fact, our school is one of the highest ones that has most of the celebrity hairstylists. Candida Farmer, Candida is a celebrity hairstylist. Everyone knows her in California. Pam Farmer, celebrity makeup artist. Kim Liu is another celebrity makeup artist who graduated from our school. So we produce some of the biggest...
Apparently.
Yes, makeup and hair artists that work in the industry to this date in California. Like, it was just amazing how they all led a part in my journey. And... It's just amazing. When I look back on it, I thank God. I don't take nothing for granted, and I bless God for every part of my journey.
Absolutely. I love everything that you have said. And I have to tell you, I got to go back to one part which just cracks me up. I can't wait to, just to remind everybody better. But it reminds me so much. I love your journey, and we have so much in common. But I think this is every black mama who says,
yes.
You can't, because I swear to you, it's the same story. I had grown up thinking that I'm going to just lay in the house when I graduated high school and thinking I'm just going to sit around the house, you know, and I don't have to go to school now, so great.
Right.
Man, my mama, she told me you're going to get a job or go to school or get out,
right.
Literally
that's
in
right.
that order. And so
that's
when you,
right.
I said, oh, my God, you brought back memory. So I'm sure that's every black mama in
yes.
America. We don't play that stuff. We
no,
really
mama don't.
Don't
play that.
Not
mama
at all.
Yes.
And especially from North Carolina. Anybody from North
right.
Carolina, ain't nobody playing that kind of thing. Now, let
that's
me
right.
tell you, Kim, I love this. I love the story. You are just amazing. If you're just tuning in, I better bring everybody up to speed. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. This is a very, very special interview this morning with none other than I'm calling you the superstar celebrity hairstylist, Ms. Kim Berry. Again, we're welcoming you to the show. She's also the author of Diamonds and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z. So when you guys are out there Googling it or going on to Amazon or picking up the book, Definitely you want to search it correctly. So tell us about this amazing book. Now, I've seen some of the things online. Tell us about Diamonds and Curls.
Yes, Diamonds and Curls is my memoirs, 29 years rolling with rock royalty. That's my book. Working for one of the most iconic stars in the world. Like, you know, I tell everybody this little girl from the hood did good, you know. It was just amazing of how basically our lives were so intertwined, he and I together. We literally grew up together. And because most marriages, like I said, I outdid both of his marriages. He was only married for 4 years apiece, and I outlived his lawyers, his doctors, his wives. You know, I was there when his mother died, when his father died, when his baby died. I was there for some of the most intricate highs and some of the worst lows of his life. And God chose me to walk alongside this man, you know. So I'm telling intimate stories of literally how I, you know, was there. Some of the stories were just, it was just he and I, like, you know, and how we laughed together, how we prayed together, how we bagged on each other's mamas together. Like, it was just the most incredible journey. So I'm not telling the stories about, you know, book sales and, you know, concerts and all that. There's enough of those books out there. I'm telling the more intimate side. Nothing scandalous, nothing salacious. Just literally our everyday life of how I walked alongside, you know, one of the most, like I said, biggest names of our time, that he literally created the soundtrack to our lives, you know. And I'm telling the intimate stories, the part that people would never get a glimpse of unless, you know, I pulled the curtain back. One of my hashtags is behind the purple curtain, and showing people what life was like on an everyday journey with this man.
Now, did I uncover somewhere that you were not necessarily a Prince fan at first, you know, before you started working with him in that way? You were aware of him and his music, but you weren't necessarily like the number one fan. So
nope.
How did that happen, or how did it come about, and did that change along the way?
Well, hanging around him, you have to become a fan. He teaches you what real music is.
Yes.
I had knew his popular things, Little Red Corvette, Kiss. I remember watching Kiss on a video, just watching it, and I was
you
just
knew
staring.
The 80s.
Friend. Yes. So yeah. I knew of him, but I, like I said, never thought that I would wind up working with him. I wasn't a fan, and so I think that's another reason what kept me around so long, because I wasn't so geeked out and tripping off of him
exactly.
When I got around him.
Oh.
It was a job for me to do. I showed up, like one of the fans said on my page yesterday, I would have just kissed him, you know, and I said, and you would have just been fired. So, you know what I mean? So I didn't fan out over him. I wasn't geeked out. I showed up every day. I did what I was supposed to do. I tell people all throughout the book that I served him as if he was God himself, you know, because everything that I do, my mother had already instilled in me, you do it with excellence, you know, and whether it be the trash man or the biggest man on the totem pole, you serve everybody with respect. And you do it with excellence, and so it was nothing for me to show up every day. Like it was a blur. It went by in a blur, because it was just what I did every day. I served this man. I was with him sometimes 6 months out of the year, gone away from my family. I missed holidays. I missed, you know, big things. Even, you know, I was telling some people, my daughter's first steps, once my daughter was born, I missed my daughter's first steps being on the road with Prince. I came home off the road. My mother said, I have a surprise for you. And my daughter came walking across the floor. I was like, no, like I missed my daughter's first steps. You know, so you miss some big things in life at home. But, you know, family was able to enjoy some beautiful things. They were able to travel the world with me sometime, my mom and my daughter. And you know, but they had some beautiful Christmas and holidays because of Prince, you know. So,
sure.
I said, so it was awesome. The exchange was well worth it, you know, the exchange. So a lot of my friends were like, oh, if I were you, I wouldn't take, because Prince talked crazy to you and expect you to be there in the morning. I wouldn't take this off of him. And, you know, I wouldn't let him say that to me. I said, okay, let me see now. You at home on your mama's couch, and I'm in Switzerland in one of the most beautiful hotels in the world. So don't tell me what you won't take off somebody, because I said, you'll do what you got to do to get the job done. So those, all those stories will be. So right now, Volume 1 is out now, and I'm actually going to re-release Volume 1 April 22nd of next year. I'm looking forward to adding some new stories to the book, what I'm doing is 10-year chronicles at a time. So I'm doing Volume 2 and Volume 3. So the fans have looking forward. So they're already chomping at the bit and asking, when's the next book coming out? Because I ended every book on a cliffhanger. So each one will end. So, you know, back in the day when we had Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boy Mysteries,
the
book will be like that. And so each book will end on a cliffhanger leading you to the next book. Instead of doing, you know, this big, thick Bible-type book, it's like putting 30 years in one book. I didn't want to do that to the fans. I didn't want to bore them. So there's pictures in the book, behind-the-scenes pictures. There's, like I said, stories. There's also, they always ask me, like, well, what products did you use on Prince's hair? And what type of makeup did he use? And what type of soap? So I have what's called the endorphin. What Prince had a song called the endorphin machine. And so in each part of the book, there's a small section, and there's cartoons that are drawn by Mr. Gary, and then there's another brother who's an artist. His name is, oh my God, just because I'm trying to tell you, oh, his name escapes me. There's an artist who illustrated the book, and that I'm going to tell you his name in just a few minutes.
The
brother's name is Moiselle. His name is Moiselle.
Oh, Moiselle.
So,
okay.
Yes, he did these beautiful illustrations in the book. So the book is beautifully designed. And so we have the artist pictures by Moiselle. Then there's the cartoon characters that of my hairstyles all over the world. So Gary lent his expertise to the book as well. So both of those brothers, I appreciate them so much. In each part of the book, the endorphin pages are different anecdotes of, you know, things that I've shared with Prince, different hair products that I've used on him. And speaking of hair products, before Prince passed away, we were coming up with a product line, which I'm definitely going to produce. I'm bringing it to manifestation. It'll be coming out real soon. So we have a hair product line that's inspired by Prince. The fans are going to love it. It's going to be beautiful. The packaging is amazing, and I can't wait to get it to the masses. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I can't wait, because you're going to come right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show and tell everybody all about it. We're so happy for you. Well, listen, Well, I also want to find out, you know, some of the stylings and things like that. Now, did you go with him, like, during concerts and literally work at the concerts, or were you mainly just at the house on that before he left the house, or how did all that work?
Well, when I first started, it was the early, I graduated after high school and then beauty school.
Wow.
I only did stuff when he came to L.A. But as things progressed, I literally became his everyday stylist. So I traveled like I was his right hand. Like, Prince didn't go anywhere without his hairstylist and his bodyguard, like I said before. So I was everywhere with him, every concert. Like, people ask me to this day, were you there at this party? I was at every after party. I was at every concert. I was at every – so for 29 years, if you could imagine, literally all over the world, wherever Prince was, Kim was somewhere in the background.
Wow. Now, we're just trying to wrap our brain around that, because you're talking about being a young person and literally seeing the world. Now, what about some of the other celebrities? Did you was Prince your only client during that period, or did you also do some other hits?
No, thank God. Over the years, I was able to work on, when I would come back to Los Angeles, I had the opportunity. I was good friends with Cat Williams' manager. Cat Williams has been a client of mine for the last 10 years. I just did a movie with him called 2 Minutes of Fame. It was the most hilarious event of my life. There were so many comedians: Sinbad, George Wallace, Lunell, Red Grant,
wow,
Jay Farrow, you name it. They were on set. We laughed all week. It was the most hilarious thing that I have ever done. Meet the Blacks, did hair with Kat. Every one of his comedy shows that you've seen in the last 10 years. That's all Kim Berry's hairstyles on Cat Williams. So DJ Quick is a client of mine. Wendy Raquel Robinson, Loretta Devine, Tamara Mari. God has just really been in the blessing business. I have been able to touch some of the most beautiful celebrities, and it's been a great journey. It's just been amazing, and I'm looking forward to what God is you know, going to do next. So still working on photo shoots and videos to this day. So I'm still rolling in the industry. People are like, well, what are you going to do now? Like, I was just going to crawl in a hole and die. No, when I met Prince, I was doing hair. When I die, I'm going to be doing hair. So I'm still rolling. I'm like, I tell people, don't, you ain't seen the end of me yet, so don't count me out. God ain't finished with me yet. So I'm looking forward to what God is about to do. So like I said, I have the product line coming out, the hair extension line that's going to be coming out. I'm up to some big things. God is doing it, and I'm excited about what he's about to do.
Well, I see that you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, so we know that you're on to big things, and we love it. What I cannot wait to get into, and this is a great time to talk about this, we're excited. We're excited to have you, because we're going to be exploring having you to come back and give us a full series on this amazing life. And I want to say it's based on Diamonds and Curls, which is your amazing book. Again, Curls is spelled with a Z. So when you Google it out there, and Kim Berry is an amazing author out there with this telling and retelling of the stories of her life with Prince for 29 years. That's a long time. So, yes, you talked about some of the different changes along the way, not so much changes, but some of the different experiences along the way that you had an opportunity to have a front row seat, literally, could have been a concert seat, but literally a front row seat to this man's extraordinary life. Was there any part of it that really kind of, that you were kind of surprised, you didn't expect Mr. Prince to be that way, you know? So some kind of, you might have gone and thinking he was one way, and then come to find out he was totally different, and maybe in a pleasant way. So anything you want to kind of share with us about any kind of thing like that?
Well, like I said, he was a practical joker.
Really?
He played jokes on people all the time. if you go back to the Morris Day times, they literally kidnapped some of the band members and came out on the stage and played for Morris. Like, if you read, I tell everybody, if you read everybody's stories, if you lined all our books up, you know, you'll find out who the man Prince really was. Because one thing about it, he was consistent. He had his, I call it, you know, asshole moments. He was mean to you. He had his moments where he was loving. He had his moments where he was hilarious. He had his moments where, you know, it was just an awesome experience all the way around.
He felt like he was an all-around person to me.
Absolutely. Most people, you know, they want to make it like, oh, he floated on a cloud and, you know, he pooted purple dust. No, he was a human being. He was a man. That's what I'm telling about in my book, is the humanity side of Prince, that he was a man, that he laughed, that he cried, that he desired certain things, that he longed for certain things, that he, you know, just like all of us, he put his pants on one leg at a time. And so people want to be like, oh, he's this mystic god. No, he was a human being. And he hurt, he laughed, he cried, he was human. And that's what I love about it. I'm trying to think of one moment the Dave Chappelle moment, when Dave Chappelle talked about the shirts and the blouses. That story was absolutely true. Now, mind you, we were all sitting in the kitchen in Paisley Park, and so they had just got through, you know, having a recording session in the studio, so the band members, everybody in there, that was our normal thing, everybody hanging out in the kitchen, laughing and talking and eating lunch. And so then on comes the Dave Chappelle show. And so they do the shirts and the blouses. Now, mind you, everybody in the room is cracking up laughing. And so they're laughing because Prince is the butt of the joke. And so this is a true story that really happened. Charlie Murphy and all the crew came and played basketball against Prince. Inside Paisley Park, there's a full basketball court. Most people don't know that Prince was a basketball superstar in high school and literally would go out and ball you crazy in his six-inch heels. Do you hear me?
Wow.
Like the boy did not play. He could play some basketball. So anybody that came in Paisley Park was getting challenged to basketball, ping pong, whatever he could whoop you at, you was going to get challenged at it. And so he had a full ping pong table set up in Paisley. It was awesome all the time. And so the show came on, and I was just cracking up laughing, and he's looking at me like, "That's funny to you, Kim?" I said, "Oh, let me straighten up. No, sir, that's not funny." I said, "But come on now, you know that's funny." And we laughed at Prince so hard that day, but it was just so amazing because we all knew it was true, that it really did happen. And so so it was just awesome to just be around him, you know. And when he would laugh at you, if we was having a bag session and he'd be bagging on people's mamas, him and the guys in the band would be going back and forth. He would read jokes, like books on your mama jokes. So he would clown them. He was just hilarious. And so it was funny, especially if he bagged on you and it was funny, he was going to laugh from his gut, like he would scream. Like, it was just so funny. But when it was, he was the butt of the joke. You know, he'd look at you sideways. "That's funny to you, Kim?" I'm like, "Oh, no, sir, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you." He's like, "I'm not laughing, Kim." And I was just like, "Yeah, you know this funny." I said, so he was just a real dude. And it was just amazing just to be around him, you know. And I just love it. I just love that I had the opportunity to walk alongside that man. It was so amazing.
Kim, I have to take you to this part. What do you miss most about Prince?
I really got to say his laugh. That voice, everybody was like, you know, did he talk really deep? No, well, yeah, he did. But he had the whisper, you know, especially if somebody was around that he didn't know who was in the room, he would come up behind me and whisper in my ear, "Who's that to your left?" And who's that? I'd be like, "Okay, that's your lighting director. You don't know who that is." Like, it's so many people on tour, you don't know who it is. But, you know, I missed that laugh, the joy that he carried in his heart. Always joking around, just being a all-around funny dude, that laugh. I think more than anything, I'm going to miss that laugh. And the funny faces that he would make, the smirks and the side eyes and the, you know, if somebody was in the room, oh, my God, like him and I would communicate literally by eyeballs. Like, "Do you see this fool? Like, do you see what's happening?" You know, and it would be so funny, like the little things that we created over the years, you know. Him and Maite had a sign language, you know, that they would speak in. And it was just all kind of stuff that, you know, he created over the years. Everybody in the camp had their own little thing with him, you know, that everybody can speak on. So that's what was just amazing. Like I said, if you line all the books up, you'll literally learn the different parts of Prince and how amazing he was.
Well, we are talking about Diamonds and Curls with a Z. By the amazing celebrity superstar stylist, Miss Kim Berry, the 29-year, you know, hairstylist relationship with Prince, superstar Prince. This has been something that, to me, I think it's kind of unparalleled. I don't think I know of too many folks out there who've been with the celebrity that long. Now, maybe there's some, but very few stories. So what do your family members think now, and also your friends, and how did they react? Because sometimes friends can be a little jealous. Sometimes we're going to just put it on out there of the types of things that you were able to accomplish in your life. Did you ever experience that where some were a bit on the jealous side, or no?
Not really. All my friends were cool for the most part. Like
you
I
had
said,
real friends.
Yeah. You had some people, like I said, that would listen to my stories. I wasn't too many people I could talk to that was outside of the camp, so I kept it, you know, real close to the belt. But a few people that I did tell different stories of what I was going through or how I experienced life, you know, on the road and, you know, being with this man. You know, I had a few smart Alex, like I said, that would talk crazy and be like, "I wouldn't take that off of him. I wouldn't let him him say that to me. I'm like, don't tell me what you wouldn't say or what you wouldn't take. I said, because like I said, you at home sitting on your mama's couch, and I'm literally sitting in, you know, we went in the ice hotel in Switzerland, and we traveled on camels across the sands in Egypt and walked through pyramids. And, you know, I had an amazing life with this guy. And so, you know, it wasn't much that you could share. Like, people didn't even know that it was even me until the camera showed up on my doorstep and interviewed me, you know, the night that Prince died and the day after Prince died and all these people. I was on 2020 and all these other, you know, fabulous television shows. And people are like, that was you all these years, you know, that was you. I was like, yeah, it was me, you know. And so we collaborated on hairstyles, like we collaborated, you know, with his music. And you know, so it wasn't many people that I could talk to. I had to keep it close to the belt. And the few people that did know it was me, one of my girlfriends, Shanice Wells, she would tell me all the time, she said, you so humble, you so down to earth, like people didn't know, like you would get off the plane coming from Milan, and then you'd be like, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a two-piece, because I was never geeked up, I was never haughty or high on myself, I knew what I did, I knew who I served, I knew who I walked alongside, but like I said, most people didn't know that they, like I would be in an elevator one day, it was Lala Anthony, and, you know, a couple other, you know, high-end girls in the radio industry, and they were talking about, girl, Prince changed his hairstyles like I change underwear, you know.
And they
I
was didn't just know like,
they,
you were
they didn't
right
even
there.
Know that Prince celebrity, Prince stylist was standing right next to him, you know. And so I kept it to myself, and I just rolled along because Prince was a private person, you know, and up until the time of his death, you know, many people didn't know much about him, you know. So I said, there's a lot of people, there's people writing books and stories, telling stories about him that didn't even know him. They're talking about the Prince that they think they know. So who better to tell the story than the person that walked alongside him directly, you know. And I got death threats when I decided to write the book, and people told me, you don't have any business telling his story, you know, sit down somewhere and be quiet. Why does the little black girl have to sit down somewhere and be quiet? Why can't she tell her story? But there are people out in the industry that's selling books that's telling their story that didn't know anything about Prince, or they're telling the theoretical part of Prince. But I can tell you directly how he loved and how he spoke and how he thought and how he walked, you know. So why don't I get to tell my story? So finally I stopped living in fear and decided to be the woman and be the person that Prince literally built me up to be. And taught me how to be, like I said, he and I grew up together and became different people because God placed us in each other's lives. So I tell people, they like, how did you think that you would been able to be there for so long? It was the God in me that saw the God in him, and he needed that around him. He needed somebody real that wasn't a yes man, that wasn't, you know, he used to call me, you know, his homegirl from the hood. So he used to ask me all the time, what was the pulse in the neighborhood? What were people thinking about his music? What did people think? So I literally had his ear. I literally was able to influence some of the things that Prince did in his music and throughout his career that people don't
know
about.
Prince, you
know,
would ask you, like, you were kind of like your, you know, the ear to the ground, or what did it call it? But you knew, you know, he would kind of let you kind of gauge what, or he would use you to gauge what the folks kind of might have thought of him. So
absolutely.
So he would bring music into the studio.
He would bring music into the studio, and he would play me some of the songs. And, you know, he knew if I stood kind of stoic and didn't move, he was like, you ain't feeling that. I was like, no. And so
it's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guest. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021. That's three big days.
Now, the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. The event is for everyone. You don't have to be a hair or beauty professional to come to our show. Let us know if you'd like to be a vendor. Call us. Call our office at 862-277-0686. And again, that number is 862-277-0686. Now, if you're interested in being a guest or advertising on the Hair Radio Morning Show, give us a call. And for those of you who are just starting your career as an entrepreneur, you want to pick up your very own copy of How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's by me, Carrie Hines, and is on sale at Amazon.com. Start your new career as a Caribbean Hair Products Distributor, where you'll make money and meet interesting folks selling our hair care system. Caribbean Shampoo, Caribbean Conditioner for the fellas is Caribbean Beard Oil. It's my very own hair growth system that's infused with caffeine to stimulate the scalp. And don't forget to tune in to our very next live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our program airs each weekday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 5 to 8 Central. And if you miss that live broadcast, we've got you covered. Go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio. And again, Hair Radio is always spelled just one R in the middle. So again, go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio anytime to stream the episode on demand. The Hair Radio Morning Show is the longest running radio broadcast on hair and beauty in the world. 25 years and counting. Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page at The Hair Radio Morning Show or at Twitter at Hair Radio and Instagram at Hines Carey. Again, thank you so much for joining us in today's broadcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. And remember, what was possible for you yesterday is still possible for you today. It's Two Thumbs Up, the Hair Radio.